The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay, thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
And we're here to make it worse. All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. We are at Gillette Stadium. It is Thursday. The team's getting ready to host the Detroit Lions in big news. It's not official yet.
Yes, it is. It is.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. I know you had some meetings, but they have made it official since the last time we spoke.
The Patriots have signed LeGarrette Blount and released Casey Walker.
Correct. The pescatarian, no longer part of the team.
Yeah. So I'm bringing
him back to the practice squad.
I'm not crazy about this move whatsoever. I said so yesterday. I'll say so again today. I think it's impressive. I did see that Ben Tate got claimed off waivers. So that, you know, I think they would have gotten Tate instead of Blount if he was available.
I think they would have gone with Blount.
I think they would have gone with Blount because that's the guy they know.
Right? Yeah. But anyway.
I think it's an obvious move. You always try to get better, and he makes you better, and you're comfortable with him. There's no downside to this move.
This is not meant to be a typical Paul crack at you, Fred, but I think it's impressive that you like Gray as much as you do, that this move has bothered you a little bit. And I preface that by saying it on purpose because I know how you're going to take it. I don't mean it to be critical.
No, that's
you
fine.
Believe in Jonas Gray. No, I'm being dead serious. You believe in Jonas Gray more than Andy and I do. And I think that's part of the reason why you don't like the move.
Well, I believe in Jonas Gray. I don't think it's necessary.
See, I do. I think that they needed another back. And
I will say that if Bolden is off the map as a backup, okay.
And he kind
but
of
then
is.
If you're going to make Blount the backup, isn't he going to be pissed off here too?
Well, I wouldn't
first
think
of all,
so.
why is necessarily he going to be the backup? Now, he'll be the backup now, but he may not end up the backup in 2 weeks.
And it's like we talked
about. If either Gray doesn't play well or gets hurt?
Or fumbles or
they think
or
that Blount
anything,
is better.
Right.
You guys got it all wrong.
Okay.
You got it all wrong.
Wright was cut.
I just came from the practice field, and they signed LeGarrette Blount, but not to play running back. He's an offensive lineman now.
Okay.
He's wearing number 60. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
I am not kidding about that.
Well,
he's
that
wearing
could...
number 60. So yeah, they clearly want him to sign as an offensive lineman.
What
he gained a few
was
pounds.
27?
He was 29.
29?
Yeah.
29.
So
yeah,
obviously.
So he's dealing with
it was 27
Don Jones.
In Pittsburgh.
See, Don Jones? 29?
Don Jones has 29.
So they're negotiating?
They're probably negotiating, yeah. But. Yeah. It's just kind of funny because he was always a bigger back.
I'm like this is the end of the world. I just don't think it was necessary. I don't think it.
But what is necessary?
I don't think it was like you used the word necessary. You know, I think they needed another running back. I don't think I was comfortable if they got into a game where they had to run the ball with Jonas Gray.
Right.
But now, even beyond that, their 53 is better than it was yesterday.
That's my bottom line. They made the team better.
You always add talent, especially. When you're so familiar that it's obvious. They liked him.
Yeah.
Whatever happened in Tampa, whatever happened in Pittsburgh, irrelevant. When he was here, you liked him, you were comfortable. Why would you not sign him?
Well, and if they don't like him,
and
something
forward,
happens,
by the way, it's
you
a good
just
sign.
Cut him.
No,
but they signed him to a two-year deal, too.
This is more of an emotional thing here.
Well, that's what I said.
I don't really understand how you're so emotionally attached.
But
to
I don't. But I'm not critical.
You don't
of
get
that.
You don't get attached to.
Of course
things
does.
That you believe.
But not this quickly.
Oh,
this is like unprecedented.
Let's just say the first day. Let's just say the
Mendenhall
Quinn in Gronkowski's first year, he had this really good game in his rookie year, and then the next day they signed another tight end. Wouldn't you be like, what
you would have been mad.
Yeah.
But it's different because he was a second round pick, like with a, like the talent.
It makes
upside.
It all the more like, hey, you know, I spotted a guy in preseason.
No, I know.
And so it makes it even more so.
Do you like Jonas Gray or do you like the fact that you could be right?
Both.
I think you like the fact that you could be right more, and now you're worried that he's not going to get the chance to prove you right.
That could be. Okay.
Yeah, but he likes Jonas Gray because he thinks he's right about Jonas Gray.
No, I know.
He doesn't like Jonas Gray because he thinks he's a great guy. He doesn't even know
I don't
him.
Know a guy. You know,
he seems like a nice guy.
He does seem like a nice guy, but that's not really why Fred was attracted to him, to use that word, you know.
No, it was that's much not, other reason.
It was his arms. Fred took a liking to this guy from training camp based probably on the physical appearance of his arms because you two get completely captivated by running backs.
Freaking ball.
Running backs with, that's where I cut ties with you because we didn't see it.
Fine. I did, and now I want to be right.
But the
so
facts
Andy's
were
right.
That
I'm not backing off that. I want to be right.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
And that's why I started the whole thing by saying I'm not critical of it.
Yeah.
I think it's impressive that you like him so much that you're upset that they brought in another running back.
Right.
Okay, let me ask you
a question. But from a – I also agree with you guys. From a just a team-building standpoint, what the hell, why not?
Right.
You know.
But let me ask you a question.
But what does it also say about Bolden? Is Bolden not
– Bolden is a special teamer.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Guy. Because he used to be –
when?
You know, a limited role backup running back.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if they're to the point where I am where I don't even think of him like he's done. He's
right.
useless as a
so
running back.
So is that the case now?
I mean, I guess you could take a step in that direction.
Okay.
I thought that he was already there.
For me. I mean, Fred's right. Is this a sign that they think he's there, too? He's a special teamer.
Right.
You include him with Nate Ebner,
right.
Matthew Slater, Don Jones.
Right.
Yeah, they have positions, but really they're specialty. They're core
right.
special teamers.
And how many of them do we need? But anyway, go ahead.
Oh.
That just took a turn.
Wow, does he really turn?
He really is coming around to our way of thinking.
Listen to me. Jonas Gray, don't insult him.
More, better chance that who makes a repeat appearance on the cover of Sports Illustrated? What's more likely? LeGarrette Blount, who was the guy last year. I forgot whatever game, the Buffalo game or whatever, he earned his way into Sports Illustrated, and Jonas Gray. Which has a better chance of doing it again after this week?
Neither.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right answer.
Wow, so we're really going to waste time on this show talking about running backs that Fred thinks are both irrelevant.
If you're going to say this particular week, I'd have to go with Gray.
No, not this week. Ever again.
Ever again.
Next guy.
Probably Blount.
In a one-to-one race, who's the next guy to do it?
Probably Blount.
I would say, too. I think Blount is a proven whatever you think he is, but
why
he's proven.
Did the Steelers use him at all?
Because Le'Veon Bell's having a great year.
Right. I think Bell lost weight. I haven't read any of this. He looks quicker and skinnier
than
me.
They said that he lost a lot of weight.
He's now like a pass-catching, three-down, versatile back.
I don't know if they went into the season thinking that Blount was going to be an afterthought. I think they felt like they would use Blount the way the Patriots used him last year. They'll have Bell be their lead guy. But they're going to find a way to get Blount, you know, 8 or 10 carries every game. And I think Bell has been too good.
With as good as Bell has been playing, I mean, he's just better than Blount, obviously.
Right.
Does it bother you at all that, you know, Blount was pissy about it?
Well, I think the parent in me kind of, like, that sounds lame, but, like, in this lessons of life, a guy kicked and screamed and was sulking and being a biznitch, and he could get a Super Bowl ring out of it. It's like, life's not fair. Like, he got what he wanted.
Right.
It couldn't have worked out any better for him, and I don't blame either side.
Yeah, he whined his way out of town,
and I don't blame the Patriots for adding
it's
him.
It's like, no.
But
I think it's a great move by the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of being a professional or whatever, and we don't know what's going on there. I mean, I always, you know, kind of couch remarks. I've never respected Tomlin really as a head coach, so I don't know what kind of an organization.
You don't know.
And
maybe they were screwing with him.
He said, she said, getting jerked around. I have no idea.
You don't know.
But it doesn't taste great when you see a guy sort of, he gets paid, he gets some money, and then he goes back to, you know, some people think, you know, they polluted the Steelers locker room, and then they get him back, and it's perfect. It's Bill.
Well, that's an email I'm going to read. One other email I want to start off with about me. T-Bone writes in,
T-Bone!
Stick to your day job, Fred. We don't need LeGarrette Blount, emphatic Freddie K. Thankfully, the head coach of the New England Patriots doesn't agree with Freddie's talent evaluation. Your transparent attempt to become the Maz of PFW in progress has been a fail. Stick with the lemon ice distribution industry, Fred. That seems more your speed.
That's unfair to you because you said you didn't want Blount. You still think they don't need Blount. You're all in on Jonas Gray. Maz, within the course of a four-hour show, said, that's why you don't need Blount. You don't need him. And then they cut the tape, and like an hour and a half later, he goes, and that's why I'd add Blount for depth. It was awesome. It was the best edited little, like, because he goes, you don't need him. Well, why would you? And then, that's why I would add him.
But now you bring up that word depth. They got rid of Casey Walker. Are we now saying that they're good with Alan Branch and that the depth of the D line is good now?
Salinga. Hold on. Time
okay,
out.
Okay, so that's a good point.
Time
good
out. Point. Yep. No sign of Silver Salinga at practice.
Kind of what I expected.
I wasn't expecting him to be out there.
I thought it was the PUP thing that everybody falls victim to in camp. We got a walkthrough. Right. Oh, everybody's out there, and then the next day it's not a walkthrough, so not everybody's out there.
So Salinga's not going to be available this weekend.
It doesn't look like it.
We don't know that definitively.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that. I would expect him to be back on the practice field for at least a full week, maybe more, before you see him back on the
field. So are we comfortable with the depth of the D-line?
Well, yes. Casey Walker will, yeah. I would imagine.
Casey Walker is inactive. So I'm comfortable with what they had for a D-line without Casey Walker.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Salinga's going to be back soon. Yeah. Probably.
And Branch took his spot. Now, if you want to say that you think Walker's better than Branch, fine. I think Branch did more in the game last game on Sunday than Walker has done in any game. So I have no problem with the depth up front.
And Walker could be back on the practice squad.
I would expect him to be in the practice squad. Absolutely.
Oh, nice. I can get rid of that guy. Who's that receiver? Is he still
there? Jonathan Krause? He's still there.
Gone.
Murray in Halifax, Nova Scotia says, good day, gentlemen, and Andy. I think we all know this whole Blount thing was another Machiavellian master plan from Coach Hoodie to get inside info on the Steelers, a potential playoff opponent. Think about it. Blount was miserable in Tampon Bay, so he gets saved by Belichick and has a good season with the Patriots. When his time to get paid comes around, he wants to stay here, but Belichick won't pay him the big money, so they hatch a plan where he takes the Steelers' money, gets inside info on them, and then engineers his ouster so he can come back to Patriot Nation at a discount for his favorite coach.
Brilliant.
And P.S. Fred, you're the boss, man. Can we swap roles for Eric and Andy on Sunday so Eric can rock our socks on the pre- and post-game show and Andy can do whatever he does?
Wow.
He don't like him some Andy.
Yeah. No.
He don't like him some Andy.
Murray from Halifax.
Murray, Canadian. Not an Andy fan.
Canadian. Thanks for the tree, by the way.
That worked out for everybody but Blount. He didn't get the money.
The Boston tree. He didn't get a bonus?
Well, he probably got a bonus, but not much.
Yeah, I thought he got like $1 million bonus.
Yeah. So everybody, you know, it was time to get paid. He didn't because he didn't earn the contract. And then he came back for minimum, I think.
Yeah, but he was probably making slightly more than minimum there with the bonus.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I think it was a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
And obviously he didn't get much of it.
He didn't get
it
here.
My point. No, he wasn't getting it here. And he's not going to get it here the next 2 years.
No, but he'll be here next year.
I think so. You look at you have a chance. I think that, you know, another part of this might have been Ridley's injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not necessarily for right now, but Ridley already was sort of, you know, on the cusp of whether or not people thought he was going to be back or not. Vereen, Bolden, they're all free agents. So now you look and you have the possibility. You don't have to go into the offseason with a complete barren running back core. You have Blount under contract. You have Gray under contract. You have Tyler Gaffney under contract. So you have some options there.
Jimmy White.
Maybe James White, who's been an afterthought, but yeah, he's under contract too. So at least you have some options, and then you can figure out what you exactly want to do as the offseason unfolds.
That was Steven writes in, with the signing of Blount and Gray's potential, is this the end of Ridley?
I don't necessarily think so. I think they would bring Ridley back on a prove-it short-term, short money, and I think that might be his best.
But they don't have to have Ridley under contract all that time if they don't want to. While he's rehabbing, because he'll be rehabbing the whole offseason.
Mm-hmm. Siobhan from, he says his name is Irish, but I don't know if he's from Ireland. He says, thanks for taking the email. This is my first season listening to you guys. I've been listening to how awesome you guys are from my fiance for the past couple of years, and I finally jumped on the bandwagon, and you guys are fantastic. I'm in med school, and listening to you is better than listening to lectures about IBS.
So we've got that going for us.
So I'm very happy with the Blunt pickup. We know he works in our system, and I think he adds a lot of depth at running back that we need. How do you guys feel about it, and how do you think it will be more of an impact, Blunt or Gray, knowing that we probably won't see 38 carries for 200 yards again for a while?
Well, since it's been 30 years, yes, you probably won't
see
it again for a while.
I would imagine that Blunt will get his carries here. Even if Gray's doing well, Belichick has always mixed guys up and rotated them in. So,
and he might be a kick returner. If he's active to kick return, that's a wait, whatever, blah, blah, blah. The only thing I'm interested in is if he's just inactive, how that would play out.
Right.
Could be.
Because you've added a running back and didn't get rid of a running back. So you didn't really open up an active running back spot. If he's under the, you might be inactive.
Was James White active last game?
No.
So
yes, he was.
James White.
The running back.
I thought he was inactive.
No, he's inactive.
That's what we said.
Oh, you said, was James White inactive? And you said no.
Was he active?
Was he active?
No, James White was not active last game. If you're only going to partially listen,
he was not active.
Be talking. Right. I
just got thoroughly confused.
More important question. Was that a woman telling
Yes.
That?
Okay. Yes. Sivan.
Okay. No, I was just interested because we were passed via a coupling of fiancé.
Is that one of the, is that spelled like S-I-O-B-H-A-N?
Yes.
Oh, like the one. Wasn't
it's pronounced
one
with a V, though.
Siobhan?
Siobhan or
Siobhan?
Yeah.
Eric?
Siobhan.
Siobhan.
The American Idol chick from around here was one of those, right?
I believe you're correct. She was down by the Cape, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Down Fred's neck of the woods. You know, where all the rich people
are. Right. She goes to the country club.
What's he's making hand signals? What?
The food order has been put in.
Okay.
Good job, Jeff.
Where is he? Oh, there he is. Okay, Jeff. Jeff from Vegas is on the line, and he says Vegas is buzzing about Blunt.
Hi, guys. How are ya?
I don't doubt it.
What's going on?
We're gonna be tremendous when your lunch arrives.
Yeah, and I know Paul was getting a little restless, according to Kevin. I was busy. I had to extricate myself from a few young ladies.
Don't listen to that idiot. I told him you already tweeted it out.
Just because you bought us lunch, I'm not going to let you lie on the air. You were not extricating yourself from young ladies.
Actually, I have an amazing story. The reality was I was sort of getting thrown out because I'm so like conditioned for some types of like young ladies or working ladies that sometimes you'll just like rub up against like a server and they'll get all upset. So what happened was, I don't know, sometimes my personality annoys people.
No!
I was just to leave one particular bar. I sat down with a couple other young ladies. It turned out one was the wife of like a Houston Astros starting pitcher. And I said, you're not going to believe this. I bet a lot of money on the Astros because they were underdogs throughout the season. And then their bullpen, especially against the Oakland A's, blew like countless saves. So I'm like, I lost thousands on the Houston Astros bullpen. The starting pitch guy burst out laughing because, it cost him, victories as well. the people you want, like Mark and Belton and Andy and Paul were saying the other night, if you just hang out in Vegas in the wee hours of the night, you run into some amazing people, $30 billion type people, guys whose bullpen cost them wins, all that good stuff.
Yeah. You.
But Vegas is buzzing about LeGarrette Blunt.
Why?
Even though Fred Kirsch has been dead on, he's been in the zone. He's completely off on this. This piece to the puzzle, just medically caramelized, is putting them over the top. The NFC is weak now. The Niners have problems. The Seahawks have problems. Suddenly, there's no real threat to prevent Tom Brady from getting ring number four.
Mm-hmm. I am
well. That's
really
I agree
moving
with that.
Very very close.
I
to
agree
that
with
camp.
That. With or without Blunt.
Well, yeah,
I kind of agree with that, too. I think this just adds, like Jeff said, it adds another layer.
Yeah.
I don't think that he's the missing piece, but I do think it adds another layer. And I am really close to being in that camp. I don't see a team that I think is better than New England.
Oh, I don't either, but I think there are teams that are competitive with New England.
Oh, yeah. No, that doesn't. Just because you're the best team doesn't mean that you win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I say that all the time. I think the best team quite often doesn't win the Super Bowl.
2007.
Yeah, that's a great,
perfect example.
It's a great example.
Into alignment. So 2011. The stars are coming into alignment, and it's going to be the perfect bookend to when the Belichick-Tom
2011, not an
feud.
Example.
See, the problem, Jeff, I like how you're saying the stars are aligning, because that's how I felt all year, and it's the physical stars, Gronkowski, Revis, and Brady, and that's my hesitance, is that you still have a long way to go to make sure those aligned stars are on the field in Tempe if you get there. That's what worries me, is we're acting like, you know, whoo, Gronk is fine, Brady's fine, Revis is fine. You got 6 + 2, 8 games between now and when you – a lot can happen in those 8 games. Yeah.
Andy, here's why I'm guaranteeing that New England is going to be victorious the second time around in Glendale, Arizona, because it's the bookend to the Belichick-Tom Jackson feud. And a week before that on to Buffalo game, when the press were really sniping the Ron Borgiges, the Paul Perillos, the press that went in for Belichick's blood, when he's hoisting that trophy, he's going to do his little FU to all the freaking people who – That was
before the Buffalo game,
the dynasty, or it was supposed to have been.
You mean after the KC game?
Party?
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Say that again.
Well, did you mean after the KC game?
Yeah, I'm sorry. What did I say? When he said on to Buffalo, on to Buffalo.
That was on to Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. The Bengals.
If you're going to get your cliches out there, make sure you get them right. It was on to Cincinnati.
I'm sorry. On to Cincinnati. The low point. The low point of the pack. Of the ending point, ostensibly, of this run,
Nader.
He's going to turn that upside down, win it all, and then it's going to be his big FU to all the haters.
And is he retiring?
No, I'm really on board.
He's going to win with Jimmy. He's going to win another with Jimmy.
Oh, okay.
They'll trade Brady for 2 1s and a 3. And then he'll win it with Jimmy. Lock it in.
This isn't the good.
Lock
good
it in.
Good stuff, Jeff. And thanks.
All
and
right.
Thanks for the lunch.
Thanks for lunch.
This
Jeff.
Is a great.
See ya.
This is a great topic for after we win the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah.
That'll get carry us through like March and April.
Oh yeah.
Should they trade
is
Brady?
What's he worth?
Is it pull the plug time?
What would you take?
You got that fourth title? Is it time?
Right.
Can you imagine
this
that?
Isn't, oh, this, isn't, this isn't the time.
Nor is that really on Patriots.com. But can you imagine that story? You win the fourth Super Bowl and then
say, right,
trade Brady and move on. Like, that would be,
well,
be
especially
the biggest
like,
story in NFL history.
Like, do you think that they would re-sign Revis more likely or less likely if they won?
Less likely.
Less likely.
So I think if Revis gets his...
I agree.
He wants... He'll be gone.
He'll want his
mercenary
money.
For hire!
I agree.
Now
if you look at it like that and you say, okay, so Revis is out of the equation, so one of your three horses is gone, and we won the title, you know, is it time? You know, like, well, Revis is already
gone. It's
like
the Red Sox, we have that, what do they say, grace period, you know, after you win the first World Series in 2004.
What are you, Ted Sarandis?
Yeah, except for I have faith that the Patriots can rebuild it and fix it, and I have none in the clowns that run.
They won in 2007,
that would
too.
Be phenomenal.
They've won three.
Right.
But I'm talking about when they don't have the talent to win it, what happens?
Right.
Because I thought the Manning hitting free agency was like crazy, unique, unprecedented, that type of talent. Like me, it would be the same thing. I mean, again, now, you know, again, how they're always tied together. Now Brady's available at basically the same age. And
well, it's part of the whole thing. I just think quarterbacks, I don't know why it is. I don't know if it's just circumstantial or just sort of cyclical and it happened, but there are starting caliber quarterbacks that are now available to change teams, it seems to me, more now than that ever happened before, like, say, the last 5-10 years.
Yeah, but he's not starting caliber. Jay Cutler is starting caliber.
You can
Brady
make an argument.
Brady.
You
Manning
can make an argument.
Manning. One was a free agent and one was traded.
And I understand it's different at the time of the guys
Speculative.
Moving. But you can make.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let's talk.
You can make an argument.
We're not focused on the Lions.
That three of the best four quarterbacks in football have been Brady, right. Manning, Breeze, and Rodgers, right?
Yep.
Well, if you add Brady, you're saying three of those four change teams.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that never used to happen. Like, right. Roger Staubach and Joe Namath and,
yeah.
you know, Terry Bradshaw and then John Elway and Dan Marino and, you know, those guys never changed teams.
But the Brady
one was always
better,
like one outlier.
A Super Bowl,
it would be
and he's
one
healthy.
Outlier, like Joe Montana changed teams late in his career.
Right.
Like, you know, well, all those other guys, the Aikmans and the Kellys, and they all stayed in the same team.
And so will Brady, by the way.
No, I think the chances are that will be the case. But do you think that he'll finish?
And the other one
he
is,
might end up like Joe Namath and
Breeze
go somewhere at the
Breeze.
Very, very end of the
Breeze
trip.
Wasn't
well, that's
Breeze.
What I said. I started the whole thing by saying you can make the argument that he wasn't at that
right.
level
and
then.
And that's why I think it's just Manning right now.
I think he was getting there, though.
But
I think he was
really.
Getting there.
If he was Breeze, then
But he had the shoulder injury.
You'd never have Saban saying, well, if I had only taken Breeze instead of Culpepper. Like, if he were Breeze, the Hall of Fame, great,
right,
there would have been no decision.
No.
But there have been quarterbacks, even, okay, not superstars like Manning and Brady, but there have been other guys that have been pretty
Cutler.
Productive.
I think Cutler
that have changed teams.
Is a pretty high-level talent to go from one team to, like,
Alex Smith.
He's a franchise quarterback. Alex Smith is a franchise quarterback.
I thought Breeze was a better quarterback at when he moved out of town than Cutler was when he got shipped out of town.
Not in terms of talent.
No. And I would say Culpepper was ahead of them, too.
Culpepper was ahead of both of them.
Had a year like you wouldn't
he
freaking believe.
He had a phenomenal year.
And he's another one. You know, it's just, I don't think that, maybe it did, and maybe I'm just forgetting some of, you know, like Boomer Esiason changed teams. Maybe I'm overlooking some of them in the past.
McNabb
but
was late in his career, right? Donovan
yeah.
McNabb.
Yeah, but even he I would put in that category.
Yeah, right.
It's interesting. He's a multiple Pro Bowler.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eric is up first in New Jersey. Hey, Eric. With a K.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing today?
Sup.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you guys. Hey, I have two questions I wanted to touch on. One front office question and one on the on field. All right, regarding that, how would you grade, would you give Belichick a better grade and Nick Cass, would you give him a better grade for what the player acquisition they've done this offseason or this in season by acquiring Branch, Ayers, Casey Walker, the time that we had
I think it's been an ace season both.
Off season.
You
signed a Hall of Fame talent in the prime of his
career.
Darrell Revis.
But I
think Brandon LaFell.
Those kind of guys like Revis are unavailable during the season very rarely. So with what they could do, I think they got an A in both off season and
I just think that the moves they've made in the season are moves that every team makes.
But they hit on them.
But they didn't even
hit? They didn't even get Aqib Talib.
They have guys that are better year when they traded for
Aqib Talib. They hit on Ayers.
What? What did they hit?
He's a productive guy.
Do you just want to argue? Is that what you're doing?
I think he wasn't happy that I didn't kill him over LeGarrette Blount.
The offseason was phenomenal.
The offseason.
Now that we look back on it, we thought it was just Revis. It's more than just Revis.
I think they maximized both offseason and in-season so far.
I just think that the moves in-season are moves that every single team makes. Yeah. They just plug in guys when you have injuries at a spot, and they're okay.
But these are good moves.
It sound like Akeem Ayers has come in and replaced Gerard Mayo.
Alan
Branch has played like 10 snaps.
A street free agent.
A guy who was.
They've done well. A's. Go ahead,
I give him an A for the offseason.
Which was better is what he asked you.
The offseason was better.
I heard the word grade.
Revis, Bronner, LaFell.
Oh, you turned into Belichick, and now some like keywords set you off.
Right.
Revis, Bronner, LaFell, much better than anything they did during the season.
I think Casey Walker, I thought he had a few good games early in the stretch, and then obviously he faded away pretty quick. But I just wanted to hear your guys' take on that, because I definitely felt like some of the guys that we brought in this year definitely fit. Because I think Alan Branch, I think he kind of has that Ted Washington. I don't want to go out there and reach right now, but I think he has that possibility to have that Ted Washington effect that, for that size and the size that you put him and Will for, in case if we get in front of a run power team, and still good coming back too. I mean, so we can't negate that. But I thought that was just a quick question there. Well,
if Salinga comes back and he's fully healthy, there's a chance that Alan Branch gets cut.
Whoa, I think that's tough. It's hard with. I think Chris Jones is neat. I think he's a good sub rusher. I think Dominic Easley gives you that versatility, but I don't know if we can. I mean, do you think that Branch is less talented than Filgan?
Yep.
Ooh. I don't. I think Branch has more potential, but I think he's the guy he's always been. Overrated.
I mean, at some point, potential becomes bust, and he's not as good as everybody thought he was.
I'm just talking about. I think he was born with more talent than Silver Salinga.
I would agree with that. I can't argue with that. I'm just talking about as a productive NFL player. I think Salinga's a better player than Branch.
If you give him, I mean, if I think Branch is limited to 15, 20 snaps to kind of give him. To maximize what he can do, I think that you tap into. I mean,
year eight
I don't think he's that's too far. But the second,
I mean, he literally showed up for one play against Indianapolis where he landed on Bradshaw, and now we have him as like this staple offseason addition against a team that can't run the football.
Why do you have to yell? Why is he yelling at me?
I just
go ahead, Eric. One more question. We got to get to the other calls.
Okay. Touch base again now. Now, referring back to our linebacker position, now when it comes to, I think Jamie Collins, it's more showing that he was injured early. Yeah, I definitely think he's definitely turning the page. I think he's starting to get to that level. I think Hightower's definitely stepped it up. Now with the play, now how do you feel with Gerard Mayo coming back next year? With depending this thing, the season ended today, you know, whatever. How do you move forward with maybe dropping Gerard Mayo? Because at some point we're going to have to extend Hightower. Obviously, Collins got a little bit more. It's only his second year, but Hightower. Now, where do you come in? Because Hightower and Chandler Jones are coming up to where you have to pay those guys. McCourty as well. So yep.
Good question. You'll take it off the air. We talked about that yesterday with Mayo coming back, getting up in years. Maybe, you know, instead of looking for, you know, maybe you're looking for a middle linebacker to replace him.
He will not be back on his current contract.
Yeah.
0.0 chance.
You know, as much as I love Mayo, you know, you're going to need a linebacker to replace him eventually because he's getting, when was he drafted?
08.
You know, so.
Plus he's now an injury prone.
Is it? Yeah. I mean, do you think it's easier to find a good middle linebacker than a good outside playmaking linebacker?
God, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think the pool of productive guys is probably bigger to replace Mayo than it would be, you know, an outside guy.
Well, like your thing from yesterday that you just mentioned, you know, is Hightower better suited for that?
Right.
So you're looking in the offseason to replace Hightower, not Mayo.
True. True.
Maybe. No, I mean, that was what you threw out there yesterday.
True. Yeah.
And I don't know that that's how they're looking at it. And I do agree with Andy on the surface that I don't think there's a prayer that Mayo comes back on the contract, but I also don't think there's a prayer that Mayo's not back in some capacity next year because I just think there's too much.
What do they call him?
Little Bill.
Little Bill.
Gerard Belichick.
Too much of that love there, and I don't see how he doesn't come
probably
back.
Probably would be smart to do that.
Yeah.
Coming off multiple major injuries.
You know, don't need to learn a new system.
They took care of you early in your career. You kind of go in with a reasonable.
And I think he should be back. You know, again, we're a little critical of some of these guys, but, you know, there comes a point where the needle moves too far the other way. I think the defense has played better than it did when Mayo was playing. But that doesn't mean the defense is better because Mayo's out.
Right.
Those two, you know what I mean? It's like the scoreboard.
It's
not
necessarily a cause and effect.
But he is replaced.
We don't know how
he has been
better they would be if he was still here.
You know what I mean? You know who I would love to be? I would love to be Jamie Collins. I would love to be evaluated that every time I have a bad game, it's because I'm hurt. And when I have a good game, it's because, he's obviously healthy.
Well, he was on the injury report back then.
2 weeks ago?
You know, with the thigh.
I know. And every time he misses a tackle, it's because of that thigh.
Well, now he's better.
Remember which quarterback was it that he blitzed and he missed the tackle because of the thigh?
That happened like last week.
It hurts.
It hurts.
But
it do hurts.
Your other point is accurate. How many times do we see, like, who was the guy that went from Houston to the Eagles?
D'Amico Ryan.
Fourth round pick, I think. I mean, you can trade.
He just blew out his knee.
The guy who went from Carolina to New York. They became mainstay. Another John.
Beeson.
I mean, these are guys who were thought of as.
I'm having a good fill in the blank.
Mayo caliber linebackers that were traded for mid-round picks and then became key parts of their new team that they were missed when they got hurt there. So we've seen it often enough. You can trade for a middle linebacker. You can find a guy that can make. I mean, Paris Hilton was here, and then he went to become a key part of Arizona.
Well, Paris Lennon.
Paris Lennon.
Yeah, yeah.
Paris
Lennon. That's totally different.
I don't think she could play inside linebacker.
Yeah, and it's not a disrespectful. It's not a disrespectful thing to Mayo, because like I said, just because I feel like the defense has been better doesn't mean I think it's better because Mayo is out.
Let's go to Rich in New Jersey. Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I'm just at the gym trying to get my arms like Jonas Gray, and I just thought of something. You think they picked Blunt up because they didn't want Denver to get him?
No.
Where did Tate go?
If Denver really wanted him, they would have claimed him.
Where did Tate
go? Oh, okay. He was. They went.
Oh, Blunt. Did Blunt have to clear waivers?
Yes.
Oh, he did.
Everybody has to clear waivers after the trade deadline.
Okay, where did Tate go?
Do you know the order of the waivers?
No. Denver's after us.
Why?
Because they don't.
First of all, we didn't claim him.
No, that's
we signed
true.
Them. Okay. No one claims Blunt. Second of all, they would have the first.
The only
they would have
person
an earlier
behind
crack.
Us is Arizona.
We have the second best record. Second best record.
Oh, it doesn't go by last year's record or anything?
No, it goes by the current.
Oh, okay. It does through like 4 weeks.
Oh, okay.
I believe it's to the trade deadline.
Oh, maybe
not?
The trade deadline.
I think that's when the new waiver sits in.
Now it's current record.
Yeah, I forget who. Someone did claim Ben Tate, and I forget who now.
I don't know who. Because I know there was talk that maybe the Colts.
To answer Rich's question, I can't think of who it was.
Because there was talk that the
was
Colts
it Minnesota?
Might be I don't know.
I believe it is Minnesota.
Yeah, I think it was
I think
Minnesota.
You're right.
Oh, so he didn't make it all that far.
Yeah, I just thought
3.1 a carry doesn't drop you as far in the waiver process as it once did. I actually like Ben Tate. I think he has some talent. And I wouldn't have been upset if they did what Fred wanted Ben Tate. I wouldn't have been upset if they – it makes sense to me to get the guy that you had the familiarity with.
Right.
But if it were Ben Tate that they – I would think pretty much the same way I think now.
You wanted Ben Tate?
Yeah, well, over Blunt, yes.
What do you got against Blunt?
I just think Ben Tate's a little bit more explosive.
I think the opposite. I think Ben Tate is more steady, and Blunt gives you the big play possibilities.
I'm just big on the – we've seen him succeed here. You know, the whole John Lester argument right now. LeGarrette Blunt fit in here like he never fit in anywhere else.
He knows his way around the locker room. Anything else, Rich?
I was just going to say that it's great that New England has these two big power backs now, and no one's going to want to tackle them all game. So I think it's going to wind up being good for the team.
All right.
I agree.
Could
Thanks,
be.
Rich.
You have depth at the lead running back position as you're coming down the stretch into what you know Brady called no more domes, none of that BS. Why not?
All right, let's go to Andrew in snow-covered Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on?
Are you in the middle of it, or are you outside of where the snow is?
I'm outside of it, but I was caught in it because I had to work late last night, and it was pretty tough getting back. I got stuck trying to get gas, but I made it out, though. I'm home and rested.
Well, that's great.
Good man.
Plus, there's more coming, right?
3 more feet, maybe?
Yeah.
I saw.
What'd you say?
I said the weather forecast on the TV was saying 3 more feet, possibly.
Yeah. It's not bad out here because I live in North Tonawanda, so I'm in Niagara County. Mm-hmm. So I'm right outside where it's all occurring. But there is a little bit of snow here. But, that's one of the good things about living out here. It's not as bad, you know, because I'm not as close to the lake.
Right.
But,
right. Gotcha.
Yeah, but I have to get back to work in Lancaster later today. They're probably going to end up calling me in, so I'm getting good rest and stuff.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so glad to hear that LeGarrette Blount is on the team. Like, when I seen it, I just started going crazy. Like, I think he's a really productive running back. He may not be elite, but he's a good complementary piece to our offense. And he adds a different dimension. It seemed like when he would get his touches, we were doing, like, zone blocking scheme, and he knows how to find a hole, and he'll cut back and, you know, make a big play on the backside. Just seem like he has that ability, rather, and Ridley and Jonas Gray sort of have that. They do the power zone blocking. I mean, what a power blocking! Like they it's like a one cut and go. Like they just hit a hole and go. You know, so I feel like LeGarrette Blount does add a different dimension. What do you guys think? And would that help us? He can teach the young guy to develop even more.
I think that you add depth to the running back situation, and I think that's a good thing. I also feel, as I mentioned, that Blount gives you a big play dimension that you didn't have. And, I think it takes him a little longer sometimes to hit the hole. You know, you don't think of him because he's so big as a big play guy.
But he's fast.
But you look back and you see some of the runs that he made last year and in the past in Tampa Bay. It wasn't just a last year thing for the Patriots. He did this in with the Bucs as well. They got frustrated because he almost was too reliant on the big play with Tampa Bay, and then they turned it to Doug Martin. But I feel like it offers you a different dimension in terms of some of those runs the other night. I think he might have broken one of those for about 75 with some of the holes that Gray had.
I also like the fact that, you know, last year Ridley had his struggles, so Blount basically took over in that final stretch there and was productive. But if Gray can continue to be, you know, a reliable back, and you have two guys now who are sharing that load, that's even better for your running game.
Yeah?
Right.
All right, Andrew, thanks for calling in. Let's go to Sam in Ontario. Hey, Sam.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
Want to take us off speaker?
No, I'm off speaker now. I have to let my dog in.
Oh, okay.
All right, we're good. So I live near the Detroit area. We're a border city. I'm actually in Windsor. I'm hearing all the chatter of the Detroit fans thinking they got a chance. I know they got a chance because they're defense. But I personally don't think they have a chance to win this game.
Okay.
So what do you guys think about Steven, our kicker, being an X-factor this game?
Guskowski?
Yeah.
I like him when he's the
X-factor. If he's the X-factor, then Detroit has a chance.
Right.
I think it's going to be about...
Not because I have no faith in Gostowski, but the field goal kicker is an X factor.
Right.
By definition, they have a chance. Yeah.
Well, you know, they are good at three down. They are they're good on their defense.
Yeah, I don't feel like Detroit has a chance. I kind of fall in with you, maybe not for the same reasons, but I don't feel like the Lions, to me, have never won this kind of game. You know, they've never beaten a good team on the road. You know, Stafford is winless against winning teams on the road.
Is that right?
For his career. Like, didn't even, like, stumble into one.
Which is weird that you wanted to trade for him.
Yeah. Listen, I don't, like, unlike other people here, I don't back away from the, you know, the thing.
Oh, he's talking about me now.
No.
I think he was talking about me.
You stayed right with you, Jonas Gray. You hit the misdirection there on the sprinkler offense.
I think Detroit has a chance in this game. I do. I just, and I'm probably falling victim to saying preseason games have an ounce of matter. But I can remember that defensive line when they apparently treated it not like a preseason game and they kicked our ass. Sue, I have this little fear of this good story I'm writing about, you know, Conley and Stork and Wendell in the middle settling in, and all of a sudden they meet Ndamukong Suh, and he's like kicking their ass and throwing them around.
Yeah, and that would be turnovers, leading to turnovers. And if that happens.
How many?
Four.
Gotta have four. Paul says if there's not four Patriots turnovers, the Lions can't win.
Okay.
I'm not quite that sold. Eric, I'm sure, isn't either.
No.
I can just assume. Eric's got the Lions.
I don't think they need four turnovers, but I mean, I think
Eric doesn't see any way the Patriots going to win.
Stop it.
And we are counting on you picking
Lions. Can I have a quick aside here? You know, this is going to be the fourth time since 1975 the Chiefs are going to play an 0-10 team. 0-10 or more.
Wow.
And they've lost all three of the previous
three. Is that right? What? Yeah, that's a what?
How come you hate SID stats and every once in a while you throw them out?
Because I think that one's interesting. Unlike, you know, it's the most rushing touchdowns by a guy in his first game since 1920. Like,
but does Calvin Johnson give a rat's ass what happened in 1981?
No. Okay. All right. You're right.
Like, you love to poo-poo the SID stats.
But that's a good one.
I just think that, like...
No, I think a lot of them are
like,
good.
I think Matthew Stafford never having beaten a winning team on the road
that
is
not
relevant.
An SID one. But he wasn't around in 1970 or whatever.
An SID wouldn't give that one out because it's negative.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. You need the opposing SID to give it out.
Well, even then, they wouldn't do it because it's disrespectful.
But, like, they're like these, like, little specific... facts that end up happening.
That bookies
like,
use.
No,
you
like,
care
no,
that Gronk
no.
is going to become like, I the first tight end ever with four double-digit touchdown seasons.
Oh, no, that, yeah. No, I care about that. But, like, the fact
See,
that...
I kind of don't. Like, I feel if, like it's an era thing.
If Jonas Gray has... If Jonas Gray had just 200 yards and only two touchdowns, would the game be any different? If, like, Shane Vereen had two other rushing touchdowns? Like, to me, I don't care.
Right.
Like, the interesting factoid that because he had four rushing touchdowns.
But he set a franchise record.
No, I know. And that's the part that I didn't care about. Like, that's the SID
I didn't
part
care for
it.
Franchise records. Don't care
I
for
it. I didn't care for it. I didn't care
and
about
Drew
it.
Drew said, I mean, he was like, ooh, that was a franchise record.
The team could have had any, you know. They.
That's another example. Like, yeah. I didn't care that Drew Bledsoe threw the ball 45 for 70. I didn't care about
it. Oh, the Kevin Turner game.
Those were both NFL records at the time. The fact that I cared about was that they rallied from a 20-0 deficit and won.
And Kevin Turner caught the ball. You didn't care about that.
You like to call it the Kevin Turner game.
Yep.
But I'm very consistent. I'm very consistent with that.
As
right?
dusk fell on Foxborough, the fullback came up big.
What else you got, Sam?
Not much, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Taking my call.
All right.
I actually apologize because I thought he was off the phone.
I think he. I always assume he gets rid of Kansas City. He tells one guy he's going to take it off the air.
When the guy finishes, I assume that you just click. Times. Hang up. Or whatever.
He's a first time caller from Ontario.
I wasn't criticizing him, but he spoke, and then we talked about what he talked about.
He lives in a border town.
Windsor, Ontario. It's outside of a tunnel. I think of the
Old West.
Yeah,
like
they
I just
they
think
had
of
the
like,
casino there.
The right.
Let's go to Dana in Connecticut. Hey, Dana.
Hey, guys. Greetings. Good afternoon to you. I'm glad to see Andy made it on time today so I can talk to you, Andy.
Why was I late? Oh, yeah, I was late. You're right.
Don't
back down from these guys with the Jonas Gray and the whole LeGarrette Blount deal. Don't back down. Hold the course.
Okay.
I'm with you 100% on this, but I do say one thing. I feel like a jilted wife. I got cheated on by them bringing in LeBlanc. But you know what? I'm only kidding. I love Garrett. and LeGarrette Blount. And I think
it's LeBlount and Garrett.
Well, LeBlount,
have you been
Garrett,
tapping
whatever.
Into your LeBlount?
Garrett LeBlount, LeBlount Garrett, whatever. I like him. I think he has a. I think he has like a small man skill set and a big body, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, he thinks he's a little guy.
That makes total sense.
Yeah,
that's
he thinks
what he is.
He's a little guy. At times it gets him in trouble.
And I think they're going to complement each other well. I think you're going to see Gray get a lot of the carries early, but as the games go on, you're going to see more and more of Blount. I do. And I think if he does impact and play well, and I don't know what it is, certain guys just like Corey Dillon just, you know, they kind of gel with a certain system. And that may be the case here because I'm happy. I mean, the more we have to the mix, the better. I'm not at all disappointed that I kind of thought they would do that. And I think it's good to have that. You know, you got a 1-2 punch. They're going to bang it up. We need a running game, heading into the playoffs with the seasonality in New England. We need that running game. And that's going to be a key element because we don't have to depend on Brady. And having that compliment is big. And being able to get a lead, get up 31-17, and be able to move the sticks late in the game as opposed to, you know, the three and outs because we can't run the ball, that might help us a lot. So I'm happy with the acquisition of Blount.
Okay. Thanks, Dana.
That went quickly from being feeling like a jilted lover to being happy with the pickup.
Well, he's a Patriots fan. Yeah. 99% of the time, that's what Fred does.
And I actually think it's going to be, and I don't know about this week because Blount just got here, and I think you're playing Detroit, who's a really good run defense. But I think in general, I would flip-flop his theory. I would close with Jonas Gray and open with Blount because I think when you're trying to crank out first downs, you don't want the guy pitter-pattering.
Right.
You want the guy hitting the hole. Mm. You don't need a big play now.
Yeah. Pound it, baby.
And I think Gray is better at that. Just hit the hole quick and get the 4 yards if you can.
Let's go to John in North Carolina. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What's up, John?
Hey, you know, I like all the optimism and everything, but I go back and I remember the Patriots. Now, maybe they're different, but I remember the Patriots and the offensive line had trouble with quick, penetrating, strong defensive linemen. The Panthers last year, remember they lost to the Panthers, Luke Kuechly, play, all that stuff?
Yeah.
And the Detroit Lions and other times, those defensive lines that are strong, that are come in low and penetrate, they've given the Patriots fits.
And that's why I have a little bit of trepidation for this game.
Yep.
I still think the Patriots roll out of bed and score a lot of points, and I think that's why they win, but I am a little worried about that defensive front.
Sure.
I respect the defense.
That's all
I do.
And I hope they put up a 50 burger and everything else, but I just go back to thinking about, hey, you know, these were not good matchups for the Patriots last year and the year before.
Ever.
It is. That's why
long time.
I'm excited about the game because this is a monkey sort of on their back that they have to get off. Teams that were good up front have given the Patriots. That was the key to beating the Patriots.
Yep.
You know,
I mean, you could even say the Jets game, that the strength of that team, the Dolphins
the
game, the strength of that team,
the Giants.
See, if the the Lions could run the ball even like the Jets could, I'd be much more fearful of this game. To me, that my lack of concern is not about the Lions defense being overrated. I think the Lions defense is pretty good.
What about Stafford?
I don't think that they can move the ball and score consistently.
He's got two
enough
big-time
to do
receivers.
It. And I also think there's probably going to be some points scored for New England in this game by the Lions.
Matthew Stafford.
Yes.
I called into the post-game show.
Just because I think he's good doesn't mean I think he's infallible.
No, he's not like Gronk.
You must, John. You must be from northern part of North Carolina, right?
Yeah, I'm not from here. I just moved.
You're from like Maryland area or Pennsylvania?
Yeah, that's exactly. I'm from Maryland.
Okay.
Well done, Fred. You're dead in the accent off.
Nobody ever gets my accent. That's pretty.
Fred's an expert.
Fred knows a mid-Atlantic accent.
Being in La Crosse as much as I am, I know all the Maryland accents.
Oh, you're so pathetic.
People usually say, "I just know you're not from around here." That's all they say. All right, thanks.
See you, John.
All right, thanks, John. Let's now go to Nick Baby Love, is what he calls himself. Hey, Nick Baby Love.
Yes.
Well, Fred, I haven't met you, but Paul and Andy know me very well.
Yeah. Yes. It's our boy.
Well, look, I just got a great report from the Cantor Institute, so feeling great about that.
Oh, congrats.
And my paisan, Paul, you know, I got to talk to you off the air, so hopefully Kevin will give me your number. Just so you know, you guys got me started, and I'm hooked up with SJ, dealing with him, and I'm dealing with Felger and Mads. If you want to get a kick out of this, I'm now president of the Felger and Mads Old Timers Club.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Make sure, Kevin, make sure you get him my number.
Kevin's up in it.
Make sure you hook him up, and you don't need to bother SJ anymore. You can just call me.
He's telling you that I'm bothering him?
No. I'd be happy to talk to you. That's all.
Well, here's the deal. I am going to do a PFW thing. I'm in the studio again, but I got a Myrocraft thing going on that's been going on for 2 years, but now I'm in the final stages, so I won't do it without you and Andy signing off on it, or obviously SJ. You know what I mean? So... And it's a pleasure to meet Fred, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was just saying, because unlike SJ, Andy and I have time to do some of this stuff. And, SJ, he's really busy and stuff. So you didn't say anything that bothered him.
Who are they talking about?
Don't you worry about it.
St. Joseph?
I don't want you to say who you're talking about.
Right, I'm not.
Need to know.
All right.
This is that Italian stuff. So.
Right.
But
he's a friend of ours.
From the bottom of my heart, you know, like I said, I do want to go talk about the Patriots, then I'll get out of your hair here. But I do want to thank you and, of course, Mark, for getting me started in July, because it just takes a lot to get on the phone for somebody like me. You know what I mean? So I you guys with me?
Yeah.
And I'm down here. It's killing me. It's 65 degrees. And it's like they got the National Guard here. I wish I was up there. You know, I've been invited up, but let me get through all my medical stuff. But as far as sports, and I'll call back Kevin for the information, and, you know, we'll start the text. I really got a pet peeve with all these people. I mean, it's just driving me crazy. Can we just enjoy this one step at a time? I'm listening to you guys, and is not Detroit going to be a bloodbath?
It'd be a physical game. Yeah, I think it'd be a physical game on Sunday. I think the Patriots are going to win going away. These guys think it'll be a little closer, but I think we all think they're going to win.
But when you say bloodbath, you mean a rock fight rather than one team killing the other.
Well, example, I got my friend Benny Blades, the 3-6, we call him, you know, because I know everybody down here in South Florida. It's just like being a Worcester for me. That's where I was born, Fred.
Okay.
And so... Yeah. He's like razzing me, you know, the players, we're going to beat them up. Everybody they played is like Fugazi so far, and we're just going to pound them, you know, and that's got me nervous going into something.
Right.
Because, I mean, my final point is, I don't know what you guys think, is forget all the noise that all the fans, because I've never missed a game since the franchise started in 1960, so that tells you how old I am. And I just want to enjoy each day and enjoy each game. This is about the journey. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Sure.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. Enjoy it.
But right now, the journey's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Well, look, it is, guys. And like I said, God bless you. And thank you so much for your time.
Okay.
All right,
thanks.
Nick. Thanks.
Thanks, baby.
Nick Baby Love. All right.
He's a big-time pre and post guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. He was before he got ill and hasn't been as active. But
okay. Good. We make friends here on PFW in Progress.
We do.
And an occasional enemy.
Well, we do that as well.
I'll take one more call, then we'll take a break. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey.
Man, getting to this game against the Lions, I'll never forget this conversation you all had a while back, but you're talking about, like, physical players that this team really has. And I think number one was, I mean, obviously at that time, Logan Mankins. But you know who Paul said is number two, and I'll never forget this. He said number two was Tom Brady, and which was somewhat true as far as being nasty, gritty, that type of player. Going to play the Lions and stuff like that, I was thinking, I was like, wow, where are the linemen at? You know, the linemen, it don't matter if you got Blunt back here, Gray, whoever it is. I feel like y'all aren't going to be as good as your linemen. So I want to see the linemen this game. I know they're not going to rush for, you know, 200 yards on the Lions, but I still want to see them, especially towards the beginning of the game, established that, you know, the Lions aren't going to punk him around. You remember that game, that preseason game where, now that's douchey to me when he went back there and pointing at people's faces and all that type of stuff. They feel like they can run over the Patriots line, I feel like.
And you got
to see them.
Brady said it yesterday, you got to meet force with force.
Yep.
And he thinks this is a big week for them. And I talked to Ryan Wendell and he said, you know, we know this is going to be a big battle for us. It's going to be a long day against that front.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. I just don't like that type of stuff. It's about time, like I said on the email, so you get in somebody else's square face and you're you know, this is football. This is man's game. So push them around for one. I mean, you know, push them back. So I was getting tired of seeing the Lions feel like they can just dominate the Patriots offensive line and they don't really respect it as far as toughness goes. So I want to see those other five linemen we got out there push the Lions around a little bit.
Sounds good.
I'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Thanks, Melvin. Get a little roast beef in my throat. All right. We'll take a break now, Kevin. We'll come back. We got tons of emails, and we're going to get to them right after that, and then picks later on.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin. He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hungry?
Are you hungry?
Hungry. Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah. You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Yeah. Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernreffer, but that's... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the
Web radio? We're going to rebel!
Let's get to some emails now. Just thought I might have to burp, but I don't. Just had a lunch.
Thanks for
by Jeff in Vegas.
Love
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff in Vegas.
Jeff is the best. Lock it in.
You know, because this is our lunchtime.
Yes. You
know, we forfeit our lunchtime to bring this show to
people
you.
People were actually criticizing Eric because we finally found a good role for him, which is to bring us pizza. They thought he makes a very good pizza delivery man, but then they were criticizing him because whenever you came 1:15, and they're like, oh, that's a late lunch. You got to tell him to get there earlier.
Right.
Who was
I don't know, emailers, listeners, tweeters. Yeah.
Not me, Eric.
Friends of the
I
show.
I thought you did a fine job.
You are doing a fine job. Much better than when Kevin was doing it, because you bring a smorgasbord.
Yes.
I'm falling in love with the buffalo chicken and certainly that new potato pizza.
That was a good selection of CBS.
Have you tried
potato
that
skin
yet?
No. Pizza.
Why?
Oh, that's good,
Fred. Because there was pepperoni.
Yeah, but you could try something else. You know.
No.
Have you tried it?
I don't like it. I tried it when I was 5 years old, and I don't
no,
like
you
it.
Didn't. No, you didn't.
They didn't have it when you were 5 years old.
When you were 5 years old.
Pizza wasn't invented
right.
when you
I
were
mean,
5 years old.
Ridiculous.
Oh, boy. Oh.
They barely had tomatoes.
Let's go to Christian's email. He says, Belichick gets a lot of flack. He said flank, but I know he meant flack, for his misses in the draft.
Oh, he likes a good flank stick.
And there was a lot of talk in the first 4 weeks about how we overrated the talent and that it wasn't comparable to Denver's and Seattle's. But I think it's time we say definitively that this team is very talented. Collins and Hightower are looking like studs, but are one of the better linebacker duos.
There's that burp.
Right,
came late. Late, right?
Came late. Linebacker duos in the league. Gronk has been dominant. McCurdy has been a Pro Bowl safety. Stork has solidified the line, and even Easley is starting to come on a little on Sundays. Belichick has built a contender. Even the questionable moves like paying LaFell, Arrington, and trading Mankins look genius in retrospect as the offense continues to not miss a beat after the Kansas City game. I can't understand how some fans like Eldridge and Justin can call Bill a terrible GM. He may not be the best, but he has drafted plenty of good players over the last 5 years. He's at the very least average to above average. Okay.
I agree.
Nobody's dissenting here.
Eric, can you... Was Easley not out there today?
Easley was among the missing today. That's correct, Paul.
It just reminded me of that when he threw Easley out there, who I love that pick, but still have... I thought he showed up a little bit this particular game, but that's really the first I can say that.
Right.
Yep.
And Bill in Albuquerque wants to know what the deal is with Edelman. Was Edelman out there?
He landed on the sticks.
Yeah.
We told you about that post game.
Yeah, and he was on the injury report yesterday, but he's been out there at mm-hmm. practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's
and
clearly
he also finished the game.
Got a dead leg or a whatever. Deep thigh bruise.
Yeah. Cattell from St. Louis writes in, no offense to Paul, but I like when Eric, Andy, and Fred are on the show because it's more funny. When Paul is there, it's more argumentative.
That's true.
I have a question about the Patriots. Do you think Blunt can produce like he did last year?
Yes.
Sure, why not?
Why not?
I think if he's
you guys
behind,
are crazy.
If he was there on Sunday against the Colts, he would have done well.
It's ironic. The most argumentative guy on the show, according to this emailer, is the guy who likes to say, it's okay, we can disagree.
Nobody's going to argue with you.
Joe and Indy writes
in. He finishes chewing those fries.
Joe and Indy writes in, I want to first give a huge shout out to Barry Insiong and his Patriots tailgate group on Facebook. If you're going to a road game and you aren't a member of that group, you are not maximizing the experience. The Stadium Tavern was legitimately packed over the weekend. I'm sorry I didn't get to go to that. We stayed.
Why didn't you?
We stayed about 45 minutes out, and it was tough. You know,
they don't have cars in Indy. It's the weirdest place.
But I don't have a car.
They don't have taxis, shuttles.
I ended up going to a restaurant close to the
hotel. Damnedest thing. There were other people that went to St. Elmo's. You couldn't have tagged along with them.
It just stinks when we don't stay in the city.
We've stayed in that exact same hotel and gone downtown before.
We have.
I never have.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, you have.
I think you have. I think you have. And you did have moonshine, though.
Yes, I went downtown with you guys from there. We hooked a ride with the marketing bus once.
Was there no marketing bus this time?
I think there was.
Oh, so there was transportation. I got the feeling like they weren't welcoming outsiders.
That would be
usually
a first.
Like it's like, oh, that, you want to
that's
come
absolutely
out?
A first.
Especially you.
Yeah,
everybody
exactly.
thinks you're great.
Exactly. So that's why.
Now, if it were me and Andy, I could see that.
So how did the others get downtown?
Uber. They used Uber.
Uber.
Uber. Anyway.
I've never, has anyone here used Uber?
Yeah.
I have.
So just a random person picks you up in their car.
Well, it's someone that's been vetted by Uber.
They work for the company.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Well, no.
Well, yeah, but they're like
they're
a contract employee.
No,
but they're a contracted employee.
Yeah. It doesn't mean they couldn't kill you.
Like, you couldn't just pick somebody up on Uber right now. You have to go through the process of becoming one of their drivers.
I mean, the taxi driver could do the same thing, Andy.
Oh, I know. So I don't really care for taxis.
Anyway, Joe continues. He says, I promise I'm not making this up. This is Joe and Indy, keep in mind. More than one attractive young woman, it was two to be precise, and they were together, asked where Eric was.
They were lesbians. They wanted to know where Eric was.
I told them I was sure he had something important going on. I later learned he was watching The Hangover. I'm not saying he would have scored, but he would have started the drive in the red zone.
I don't believe it for a
he
second.
He may have even been able
either.
To go for two.
Lesbians. I don't believe
they
it
They ended
for a
up leaving later with some other fans they met.
Oh.
So thank you, Patriots Nation, for turning out the way you did this weekend. It was a great experience.
Eric, would you be interested in observing two ladies go at it?
What do you mean?
Who wouldn't?
I don't know if I would.
What do you mean you wouldn't? You're such a liar.
Well, it depends on what they look like.
Well, okay, their qualifier. No, yeah, I assume that's what he meant.
Kind of go with Fred's thing where it's like, so I'm just, literally am I sitting there?
Oh, I've been to, I was at a bachelor party happened. They brought in these two women and they went at it while.
But that's a bachelor party.
Bunch
I'm saying
guys
this.
Watched.
Like, if they invited you back to their hotel room, but they had no interest in you doing anything, I don't think I'd want to be part of it.
Oh, if they had. Well, yeah, because. Yeah,
anything?
You're literally left there just spanking
exactly.
your crank.
Right.
Is one of these girls my girlfriend? Or just.
Well, if she's your girlfriend, then I'm getting
I would
involved.
Assume you're getting involved.
No,
yeah.
But that's my point. Is like. You haven't heard. You never
no,
heard stories
these
about
two.
That.
These two. I'm talking about these two that were asking where Eric was. Maybe they're lesbians, and maybe they just whatever.
He made it up, Andy.
Okay,
it's not
that's
true.
Fine. But
I would absolutely
not
be
have.
Interested in watching that if I were a single guy.
I were not.
Now, as a married guy, I mean that's kind of creepy. But
I also continue to go with. I don't really like vaginas.
Oh my God.
You don't.
Yeah. Well, they're not. They're not really meant to hang on a wall.
They're meant to be used. Yeah. I don't want right. to watch them.
Yeah.
If I'm not using them,
yeah, no,
then
not,
move on.
Yeah.
As we probably should.
I mean,
but so you're not buying that at all.
Buying what?
You think that's BS? That somebody asked for you and they were. Winning.
Oh, I think he's completely making it up.
Maybe not.
But you never know.
You never know.
You're saying there's a chance.
No, I'm not.
You can't win if you don't play.
Well, that was my question though. Like, is it a win if you don't play?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
The whole thing we were just talking about.
Oh.
Like, yeah, it sounds like this cool thing, like you'd be... But you're... I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I would also have...
Especially for you.
It'd be difficult for me not to try
exactly.
to join in.
I mean, talk about
the
dangling the carrot in front
seriously.
Of your face.
Which
I would, too. You've had that, too.
All right. All right, we're kind of getting off the track here. All right. Kyle in Ecuador writes in, the Patriots were successful in shutting down both there. Denver and Indy's running Ecuador. Game, making them completely one-dimensional. Before, with Mayo out, run defense appeared to be our weakness. Was this merely the product of facing mediocre running backs, or what have the Patriots done to improve so much in this area so quickly? And also, everyone wants more details on Fred's threesome, and did you hear John Rook's rant on Tuesday? The fans are getting under his skin. And he spent the first 20 minutes defending himself and why his show is significant and different than PFW's sophomore humor. I like the guy. But he needs to relax and do his job.
I did get a lot of tweets that he was ripping us for an extended period of time on Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, I think each of our shows,
I did too.
Including the fantasies and including the Bob Soucy show,
which we just got a taste
are
right
distinct.
Now.
They're
right.
Not all the same.
I don't think we
That's
would
fine.
Want 6 hours of sophomoric humor.
Right. Or 6 hours of, well, I think they really need to improve in the red zone.
Whose show is that?
And you know, I'm just saying, that would be the exact opposite.
That was the old Pete Shepard show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I just think that a straight X and O show.
We're all different. You don't want shows to be the same.
You know, he's different. Bob Soucy, as you said, it's guest-driven radio. There's fantasy radio. You know, it's good to have a smorgasbord.
Yeah. So
I think that's the second
whatever.
Time I've used it today. I don't even know how to spell it.
But, you know, I think everyone on this show's humor is more senior. Yours is sophomore.
You didn't know again. You failed me yet again.
No, but see, you always get mad at that, but you never give me credit when I give you the answers to things.
When have you given me the answer?
All the time I give you answers.
That. I don't know about that.
Right. You always play dumb. Actually, you're not playing.
Hugh in London.
Good, Eric.
He says, I love the game last week and a smashing win. The Patriots are looking phenomenal at the moment, but what would you guys think is their weakness that at other times other teams might look to exploit going forward? And Andy, Gronk getting injured does not count as a weakness.
Brandonius Brownerus.
You think that's where something
is it Roman now?
Yeah.
You would look to exploit that.
Yeah, I think he can be beat. I think he's been given up deep plays that haven't necessarily come to fruition in almost every game he's been in, maybe every game he's been in. I would try to get some matchups on him. As I said, I think he's a guy that can get in bad matchups. Paul has mocked me about it since I said it on the practice field when he was covering.
When he's on wide receivers.
I don't know. I'm not really sold on Brandon Browner. So I would try to scheme things to get, you know, maybe Golden Tate. You know, try to scheme it so I get Golden Tate on Brandon Browner. Can I
what
do
if
that?
They, well, what if they don't put him on Tate? What if they do, like, you know, Arrington, like
well,
when they was on T.Y. Hilton?
Okay, as long as
if like
because I'm okay if Calvin Johnson's there too, I'll take advantage of it that way too.
Well, don't you expect Revis to be?
I would, but I don't know. I can't assume. Yeah, that Fred, you haven't weighed in on this. Paul and I debated this for our TV show. You know, looking at this, they're a two receiver team. You know, Calvin Johnson's now healthy, considered the best in football. Golden Tate has had a great year with or without Calvin Johnson. Would you? Is this a matchup week where you say, Darrell Revis, this is why I pay you, which is what I argue, or might you do something else where there's, you know, bracketing or this or that?
Yeah, I think if you only have to do one thing, I think you bracket Johnson and you put Revis on Tate.
I don't care for it.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
I think Johnson's that good. I don't think anyone can shut him down.
Well,
no way.
I think
one on one.
I think.
No
by
way.
The way, I think Brent Grimes did a great job against them for the most part, 1-on-1 2 weeks ago. Calvin Johnson made some plays.
Yeah,
and he ended up with I think 7 catches for 100 and something yards. But Grimes also made his plays. He had a huge pick in the red zone, and I think Darrell Revis is a lot better than Brent Grimes.
Yeah, if something happens, I'm also not opposed to if I need to use Revis with a little help, too.
This is where I have to
They don't have that many weapons.
Full disclosure, Andy and I do argue this tonight, and some of the things that you may hear on the show tonight might be a little bit different than what you're hearing right now.
The opinions
Sometimes
expressed in this
happen.
Segment may not actually be those of the people saying that.
I don't feel, in all legitimate arguing here, I don't feel as strongly about it as Andy does, and that's why we allowed Andy to take that side of it.
This is why I pay you $18, $16, $20
I don't want
Browner
dollars. Involved. If we're going to bracket Calvin Johnson, then I want Revis being one of the guys bracketing. I don't want Browner as part of the coverage on Calvin Johnson.
I agree with that.
And I also think the whole bracketing thing and starting, I have a lot of confidence in Darrell Revis.
I do too.
I'm going to let him do it until he proves to me, and not one play, that he flat out can't handle it. Mm. And I said to Paul, one of the other things is we've seen from him, it looks like when he gets challenged, he likes it.
Oh, sure.
He tastes it. And I think if you say, no bigger challenge than this, Darrell, this week, you think you're a badass, you think you're back, here's Calvin. Go get him.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. If for nothing else, just the theater of it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it'll be good. It'll be a good matchup.
This is the best receiver, and this is the best cornerback. I want to see those guys, you know, why can't they line up and go at each other? And you should expect your cornerback to be able to be competitive. You're not going to win every battle.
No, they get paid, too, a lot.
But I would expect that to be I think this is another week that you might have Bronner on a tight end.
That's
whichever one of the tight ends actually plays, you know, Ebron or Pettigrew or whoever.
Mm.
You know, they have a lot of tight ends. None of them are ever healthy.
Alex from Philly writes in, the Winnebago is back. Blunt gives us another bruising back who can occasionally hit a home run. So we can give Gray a break from time to time so he won't get so beat up as the weather turns.
He's got 69 career carries and he needs a break.
I know all this running back talk doesn't excite Paul at all. Seriously, not only does he believe that there are only two or three good teams in the league, and the rest stink. He believes that only two or three positions in the field matter, and the rest are irrelevant, along with the officiating. Begging the question...
The officiating is extremely relevant.
Begging the question, does Paul like sports?
Only low-level sports, really. That's his passion.
And question, who is the better returner, Blunt or Amendola?
Amendola.
Yeah.
What about Blunt's fumbling problems?
Yeah, that's a concern.
Gray's fumbling problems?
There isn't any.
We know of.
Right.
He hasn't had it enough to.
It can't be a problem if it hasn't happened yet.
If he had a fumbling problem now, he'd be out of football because he hasn't had enough chances.
Right. But if he had two games worth of carries in the Indy game.
Right.
It's true.
So it's not a problem.
Indy's right. He has 69
so
career carries.
Guy's not hurt until he's injured.
Which is a little disappointing. One of our statistical things, prior to the rescoring, he and Shane Vereen have the exact same carries for a 2-yard difference on the season. 70 carries for 328 yards, I think. I thought that was really interesting for a guy that's played basically all year versus a guy that's come on of late but had a career game.
Made up for it.
Just want to reiterate, officiating, extremely relevant
in
NFL games.
I think he was saying that, right?
Oh, okay.
I think he was saying that all that's relevant is a couple players, something, and officiating.
I thought he was saying they're all irrelevant except for a couple of players.
Oh, no, they are relevant.
Yeah, I think they decide a lot of games.
Could argue they're more relevant than almost anything else.
That Arizona game the other day.
Andre calls in from California. He said that guy that called yesterday is a straight-up moron. He says Denver, Indy, and Detroit are overrated because they beat up on bad teams, even though Denver spanked top ten team seems like every week.
Yeah, Denver played everybody in the first 9 games.
And then he said the Packers are the one team we should fear, really? The Packers have played elite teams and got spanked by all of them. I don't give much credit to beating Sanchez and Cutler. They are a great offense, but I don't see why everyone is so high on them. They are the most overrated team in football. They are a top 10 team, but that's it. What do you guys think? All right, love the show.
Well, I can tell you one thing. For whatever it's worth, and I'm opening up the floodgates here, numerically speaking, they're number one in the Wilson-Hart Power Index, which includes offense, defense, a lot of different things. And
you're going to give the formula out? People want the formula.
No.
Why?
I know people want the formula. I get bombarded with requests for it. It's proprietary.
Why?
I don't want people knowing. I don't want people then tweaking it and doing this, stealing it. It's mine.
That guy was very upset for not divulging it.
Well, that's his problem.
You know, he's an engineer, and he wants to know.
Speaking of engineers, did MIT change their name?
What do you mean?
Somebody signed one of these emails that I was reading, MIT Beavers.
Oh, I don't know.
Aren't they the engineers?
I don't remember now.
I always thought they were the engineers.
Can I ask you a question, Freddie?
Yeah. He's getting annoyed. We're asking questions.
No, well, Andy and I think everybody knows how we feel. You don't have to give it a tremendous amount of thought, but how many teams would you consider to be very good in the NFL right now? I'm not even going to say great, just very good.
Very good.
Very good teams. Besides the Patriots.
Right.
Because I think we all agree the Patriots are a very good team.
Right now, I think Denver.
Okay.
I think Packers.
Okay.
I think the Colts.
I'm not putting the Colts
okay.
there. But, okay, that's 3 for you.
Yep. Cardinals.
4.
And that might be it.
So I think Fred is a much different kind of football fan than I am, right?
Sure.
He thinks there's 4 very good teams in football. I think there's 3.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. Every team has a lot of flaws, you know?
There aren't a lot of good teams. Yeah. They just aren't.
It's the league that's been created.
But there's some teams that have better talent than others, but they don't have really good coaching, like Belichick. And, you know, I think the Harbaughs are pretty good coaches, but I don't think Baltimore is as talented as the Patriots are. So,
I mean, Seattle and San Francisco had a chance. We all thought they were really good teams. But
they're obviously
for one reason, it just shows how hard it is in the NFL. You lose a Patrick Willis. You know, you come off successful seasons and keeping that together.
They lose a Patrick Willis. Let's ignore the other seven guys.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying, you know, they've lost a lot of guys. Injuries.
I just think it's hard
to keep that up in the NFL.
I don't even think it's injuries. I think it's internal.
Well,
I think their biggest enemies are themselves. Those two teams are both imploding.
Yeah. I mean, it's just difficult. And,
it's like 2009 Patriots.
You know, we've talked about it a lot, you know, especially with teams coming off being in or winning Super Bowls. You know, all of a sudden everyone wants theirs and everyone's feeling title. And now the offers come for your coach and, you know, players want their contracts. And it's tough to maintain. That is why we cannot underrate what the Patriots have done over the last 14 years. And we shouldn't. And it's ridiculous to, you know, to discredit what they've done.
And I agree
with
you.
Even though they haven't won in 10 years.
Couldn't agree with you anymore.
I agree with you.
The most impressive factor in this whole run for me is the consistency.
Right.
Yeah.
And for a lot of reasons.
I totally agree with you.
Any one of the factors that are affecting all these other teams could have affected this team, but it's not.
And they did in
2009. And times and different things.
Yeah. 2009. Well, yes.
Right.
They had a locker room.
Now, if San Francisco was never good again, then they're not in this conversation. But I think this is a blip for San Francisco. And I think if Harbaugh stays, they'll be back on track.
Maybe,
you know, before long.
But part of it is the whole, will he stay or will he go? Does he want to be
here? That's part of the problem.
Right, and that's what I mean.
Get rid of him.
That hasn't happened to the Bill Belichick era.
Yeah.
Right? That's one thing that's unique to there that isn't even happening in Seattle right now or wherever. That's pretty unique. That's Parcellian.
Right. I agree. And I think...
Parcellian.
But I get criticized a lot for downplaying
Period.
The other team. No, for downplaying the other teams.
Right.
And I think
but
you should.
I think a lot of people agree with me.
Oh,
and I think you just said
stopped
it.
Saying it. I think it's been this way for five years.
You
the
think,
league stinks.
The irony of this is you think less of the other teams than I do. You think everybody, I think there aren't a lot of good teams.
You think,
you
the
think
league
they
stinks.
All suck.
Yeah.
You think that the Cincinnati's of the world stink. You think even less of other teams than I do.
Do I think that?
But you don't say it as often as I do.
I don't think that's accurate.
I think that you think everybody stinks.
I think for the better part of the last, whatever it is, 5 years, the league has not been overly impressive.
And I would agree with that, but I think there have been more teams that are good than I think you feel like. I just don't think there have been a lot of really good teams.
Not sure I love a league where you kind of be a crap-ass team for 10,
so does he not like
games.
Sports?
No, I love football.
I agree. I mean, I know that you
but,
do,
but do you
like,
think that
because you think that there aren't a lot of teams that are really good, doesn't mean that you don't love football.
I just
football.
Think it's cyclical. Well, I think right Paul, now, you know.
Do you think that the teams that are good would be good in a normal year, or are they good compared to the other bad teams?
Right now, I think they're
more
good. I think there's more bad teams that you can get fat on. The caller that we just had, or the email
so
that we just had about.
So they're not necessarily good teams.
Right, about Green Bay. I think that's largely right.
Well, they've played better. They've come on.
Green Bay played Seattle. They played at Detroit, and they looked really bad in those games. And then all of a sudden said, you know, relax. Aaron Rodgers told us, yeah, we'll relax until you play the Little Sisters of the Poor, and you get it going again. And now here you are with the highest-ranked offense in football.
Paul and Peabody wants to talk to you, Aaron, tonight.
we'll relax. To me, though.
We'll relax. We'll get everything going, and everybody will say that you're the best team, and you'll be at the top of the power rankings.
Back when I was
younger. You haven't played anybody.
Back when I was younger, it just seemed like
I didn't make
there were more
power
teams
rankings,
at
I
the
just
top.
Said not power rankings.
There were more teams at the top, and there were more bad teams and less in the middle. I think now there's a bigger middle class.
Yes.
I think
that's where
and
I
that's what the league
that.
Wants.
That's what they want.
That's what they want.
Because I don't think
Paul wants, you know, the 49ers and the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys and the Steelers.
Me too.
You want those quality
measuring
teams
stick. I like it.
I want a lot of them, though. Yeah. I don't want one of them.
But there can't be a lot.
Yes,
there
can
not
be.
The way it is now.
Well, I think
there could
was,
be back then.
I think there was more 10 years ago.
Yeah. I
don't think you have to go back to the 70s.
I think it's harder to do now.
The league that the Patriots won titles in was a lot better than this one.
Steelers, Colts, Patriots. Boom, boom, boom. You got three right there. Battling. Just battling.
Eagles
every
were
year.
Great.
Good team.
I mean,
that's four right there, right off the top of my head.
They choked in the playoffs,
right.
But they were great team. That was a great team.
Right, that's four right there, measuring stick teams, I think.
Mm.
What are you, I don't even know what you're,
Wasn't the NFC kind of down during those years?
Yes, there was, the AFC had the strength in numbers, but he just rattled off four great teams.
There were four great teams of that era.
And the decade before that,
there aren't any great teams now.
Well, like I said, the Seahawks and the 49ers had a chance.
The Seahawks were great last year, I would say. Right. And I would say I would put those two in great last year.
It's ridiculous, but after they were, is this the next dynasty? You know, because they looked at the way they constructed the team. It was a bunch of young guys. It wasn't, you know, free agent late in their contract. They were thinking this could be a team that could rattle off a bunch of wins, you know, for a long time.
Right, and it could be.
But look what happened, though. You know,
and it's 6-4.
No, it still could be.
I mean, you make it sound like they're 0-10.
I understand, right? They're having their trouble. They're not rolling. They're not a wagon.
It hasn't like the 2002 Patriots.
They're not a wagon.
When you maybe got a little premature in your dynasty.
It's very hard to do.
Okay. But they're not done.
But teams have done it.
No, they're not. They're not.
But no one guarantees they're not done.
It's very hard to do, but teams have done it.
You have a young quarterback. A young quarterback that you think is a franchise guy.
All the reasons why people suggested that perhaps Seattle could do something, it was because they have a young core of talent.
But
they locked it up.
You start with one, the quarterback. If you have a young quarterback, to me, you have that first major step. Now, the problem with them is the head coach, Annie.
Well, I was just going to say, what about Marshawn Lynch? The other part of that equation in the head coach?
I would have kept Percy Harvin and gotten rid of Lynch, to be honest with you. But I think they feel like that was the reason why their offense worked.
Oh, he's getting treatment.
Speaking of MIT, Bill from Manhattan says, go MIT Beavers. So I don't know. He lives in Manhattan. Maybe he went to MIT and they're called the Beavers. I don't know. Anyway, he says.
Were they not the engineers ever? I thought they were the engineers.
Purdue's the Boilermakers. Where's the
RPI what? Is the engineers, yeah. I believe.
How did we get to Purdue from MIT?
They're a big engineering school.
Yeah, I know. But
I'm thinking of engineering school that was called the Engineers. I'm not sure.
I think RPI is
RPI.
The engineers.
Yeah. Anyway, Bill says, great show on Tuesday, but you have to lay off Brandon Browner a bit. It's only his fourth game with this coaching staff, and they are asking him to do a lot. I do think that his fiery attitude is infectious for the defense, and you are seeing is a very physical defense this year. I think it is very analogous to Ryan Wendell's effectiveness for the offensive line. Wendell is not the biggest or most talented lineman the Patriots have, but his nasty streak and attitude gives confidence and energy to his fellow linemen and helps them play above their talent level. I think that Browner has a very similar effect on the defense. I've been very impressed with the defense's ability to get off the field this year. I no longer feel that the offense has to score every time they get the ball. Maybe this is the year that the defense vanquishes the ghosts of the 2006 AFC Championship game and finally protects a lead in the playoffs.
Kind of funny how he used those two players, and they're the two players that I have, like, doubts about a little bit, Browner and Wendell.
Yeah. Well, he's saying they bring other things to the team.
I've never really known Ryan Wendell to be a nasty streak kind of player.
He's gritty.
Yeah. He's gritty.
But yeah, but I don't.
Well, that's what the way they talk about
him. I think of Mankins that way.
Right.
Yeah, but that's the way they talk about him. So I'm just going off of what they say.
But
we don't hear from those guys enough to know.
No, but we also watch all the games, and we could see. You could see every week Logan Mankins was that kind of player.
Yeah. Push a couple guys over a pile.
Yeah. I wouldn't put him in
the
Mankins
category.
But I
think a lot of linemen do that. But
take one more email, then we'll try to empty up the phone lines here. Austin in Lubbock, Texas. A few points. One, regarding your conversation yesterday comparing the Dilfer Banks and Palmer Stanton situation, it's completely unfair considering Dilfer had the secret to the game by knowing you cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
That's a great point.
Great point.
Great point.
Two, if I was Chuck Pagano, as punishment, I would make Sergio Brown leave his tweets up so everyone can tweet back how much of a dumbass he is. And three, I was wondering what you guys think about picking up Tebow to start in our upcoming exhibition game against the Packers.
Packers.
The Packers.
That's a good call, right?
Well, only
there.
If they use them in the red zone.
That's a cool. Well, how do you get to the red zone?
Take break.
In all seriousness,
do you imagine
Patriots
how many
34
touchdowns we
could have
scored
10.
In the red zone last week if we had Tebow playing quarterback?
All right.
Zero, because you would have never gotten the red zone.
let's go to the phones quickly because we have to do picks. Trey's in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Awesome. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Man, I'm listening to you guys, man, and I agree with Paul, man. There's only three good teams, and I think what's going on in the NFL, man, the quarterback play seems to be taking a major drop off. And as far as, you know, people want to downplay Jonas Gray, man, I love the kid, man. I think he's just what we need. We need that back that's not going to go down anytime somebody slap him on the ass. And that, and I think that was one of the bigger problems that I had with Ridley. So I said, I'm not expecting this kid to come out and be a 150-yard rusher, you know, week in and week out. But I'm just glad, you know, that we got somebody that's gonna be able to get those hard yards for us. LeGarrette Blount, I think that's gonna be a good addition. I don't think he should have left the first time, but hey, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So, I want to leave you guys with another impersonation, man. I'm gonna go bring you guys a key to leave, man, and I'm headed to the gym. Hey guys, it was glad to be back in some of the week, man. Guys, Tom, what's up, baby? I got to talk with everybody on that same week, man. That damn brother running around like a wild dog. All right, I'll see y'all next week, man.
All right, thanks, Trey. That's good. I like that.
It was actually a wideout when he said it.
I think your theory on the league, the top heavy, might be the one that's right. I think there's so many teams that are roughly the same that it's hard for, unless you are better. I think the Patriots have the better coach and quarterback combination, so they're able to win more often than not. But, you know, and you see a lot of 6-4s.
Yep.
Because they're good, and some of the other teams that might not be quite as good are capable. They're close enough that they're capable of beating you. Like Tennessee almost beat Pittsburgh the other night. And I don't think – I think Pittsburgh has a much better record than Tennessee, but – their talent levels are probably not all that dissimilar.
Dwayne writes in, what the hell?
Shut your mouth.
What the hell is wrong with you guys? Fred is dreaming of Gino's unit. Eric is a virgin that turns down lesbians, eager to meet him. Andy doesn't like vaginas. Paul, don't let them turn you to the dark side.
I had to just continue eating. I was completely just disgusted with that lack of interest in sex.
All right, one more.
Whoa. No.
What?
I have no lack of interest in sex.
Yeah.
I never said
that. You just
don't
like to look at it.
Right. And you agreed with me.
I kind of.
He has his O face on. He has his eyes closed.
It's an open wound.
It is.
Oh. Where are you going,
Eric?
They
changed the locker room time. So
did they?
Yeah. I'll give you my picks later, Paul.
Well, can you give me your pick for the Patriots game right now? I think that's the only one anybody cares about.
Yeah, analyze it. Break it down.
Yeah, as I do every week, I pick... You know, I know this is going to sound outrageous, but the teams that I think are going to win, I pick to win.
I know, it's amazing.
You're often wrong.
But I am leading the picks. Am I still not, Paul?
You are leading the picks.
But in the Patriots game, the team you cover most and know the most about, you're often wrong.
The last couple of weeks I've been wrong. That's true. But I think they're the better team. They're at home, and they're going to win this game. What's the point spread?
7.
You're a 7-point favorite?
That means 10. Oh, no, you get 3, so it's 4.
How do you screw this up absolutely every single week?
Because I have dyslexia.
What? What was that? Dyslexia.
He was going to say stupid.
He said dyslexia.
I'll take them to cover
I think he was going to say something after it.
I drive a dyslexus.
You do, actually.
Yeah.
Because you're rich.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Okay.
Have a fun, good time in
Didn't
the locker
room. Didn't they say 1:45? You got to leave at 1:30?
I've got to go upstairs for a second. I'm not going to walk around the locker room.
All right.
Okay.
Just hand it
all right, one more call, then we'll get to the picks. Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for squeezing me in. I know we're up against it, so I'm going to spit it out.
Take your time, Chester.
Woke up this morning, guys. I can't tell you how ecstatic I am about LeGarrette Blount coming back to this team. You know, to me, I want to see more of Jonas Gray, and I know we got him. I like him. But let's face it, Blount is a better runner, and he's just far more explosive, like you guys said earlier. You know, the most exciting thing to me is we got that pit bull back in that running back committee. I just want a guy that's going to go out there and fight. And I know we got some of that, but this guy to me embodies that, especially this time of year. Beyond that, we got a great backup to returning kicks. And what I'm most excited about is imagining the jumbo sets now that we got in goal line situations. I mean, you think about Blount and or Gray, James Devlin at fullback with Gronk and Wright on the tight wing. I mean, this is fantastic. You think about Brady and his quarterback sneaks, and it just to me spells a big-time advantage. Again, on those goal line situations. The key to all of this continued success is, of course, the offensive line play, and I just want to see, again, more improvement there. And then lastly, I just wanted to ask you, before you get into picks, what is the glaring weakness on Detroit's defense? To me, I think it's in the middle. This could be another huge week for Gronk. And I'm thinking a little lower scoring than normal, 27-20 pats, but fans, if you let, make some noise, and I'm out, guys. Take it
easy. All right, thanks, Chester.
Yeah, I don't think their secondary is very good, and I'm going to fall victim again to the ex-Patriot, James Ahedebo. I mean,
yeah, right.
James Ahedebo.
Before we get to the picks, Dave from New York sent us sent me an interesting email. He says, amazing how before signing Blunt, the majority of New England fans were not for doing it. Now when Belichick has signed him, everyone is agreeing to the move. And the evidence he cites is, you know, Sports Nation, they do the polling.
That's why I give you credit, Fred.
Before the signing, 60% said they shouldn't sign him.
Yep.
And now that they signed him, 78% are happy with it.
That's so awesome. Who's that, Bob? Dave?
Dave in New York.
Dave, yes. Thank you for sending that, because those are the kinds of ones. You know when you always say to me, who are you arguing with?
And who
was saying that? Thank you for sending that, because that totally encapsulates my feelings.
Yep. All right. Eric's gone. So this actually will go a little quicker. Maybe we'll get some emails in at the end. But anyway, what's going on, Paul, with the picks?
Hey, I wanted to throw something out there before we start picks.
Okay.
I think it was like one of the callers or maybe one of the last emails was asking about potential problems. Like what, you know, aside from an injury to Gronk. And you had said something about
Targeting Browner,
right? I still have a little bit of concern on a team doing what the Jets did. You know, just physical, getting in their face, punching them in the mouth, and holding on to the ball for 35 minutes to keep your offense on the sideline. And
I thought you couldn't win running the ball in the NFL.
I don't think you can, but you can win a game doing that.
Oh.
Can't you? I mean, the Jets almost won a game.
Sure did.
By just holding on to the football.
I'm to the point where I don't think you can against this team. I think they'll score too much.
But if you don't have the ball, you can't score. That's what happened in the Jets game. They only scored 27 points because they never had it.
They can score quick.
They did score quick that night. They had to be perfect that night to win the game.
It was a very thin margin of error.
Oh, obviously. You blocked a field goal to win.
Right.
I know
and that's what happens when you don't have the ball. You don't have that many chances.
See, I think they're better now. I think they've gotten better
offensively. Now, that's another argument.
I think
I don't think this offense
is better.
Right.
And
no,
I
but
think
could it happen to the defense again? Is what I'm asking.
Well, that's what
they
you're
haven't.
Saying.
They
no,
haven't been
saying,
faced with that since.
No, I'm saying that could happen.
But have
anytime.
They learned? Could they? Would that happen again? Could
I don't
the Jets
know.
Do that again?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't think the Jets could do it again. But I think another team might. I think a Seattle
Kansas
could.
Kansas City.
Seattle could. Kansas City, I think, could.
Okay.
That's what I would worry about.
Yep.
Do I think it's going to happen? No, because I think what Andy said.
Right.
I think the offense is at a higher level. And
they've shown that was
the other team
weakness.
Won't be able to sit there and hand the ball off.
They've
all day.
Shown that was a weakness. We don't know if they've corrected it because they haven't been faced with it yet.
And that's what my point.
Oh, I'm not sold on the run defense.
That's my point.
But I'm sold on the offense.
I am. So, I am.
I think they're better than they were that night. I think
I was sold on the offense before the offense was playing good.
Okay.
I couldn't be any more sold on the offense.
Yeah, Grambo. Yeah.
Once you got the offensive line sort of playing at a passable level. I no longer worried about the offense's ability to move the ball and put points on the board. I love those ESPN commercials with the mascots
that
and stuff
funny?
Like that.
Robbie Gould?
I didn't see that one, but it reminded me that they have one with Henrik Lundqvist. He has the Rangers goalie. He's got the full goalie gear on. He comes around the corner of a cubicle in ESPN, and they're all like dressed down. Like Lindsay Zarnicki is there. She has like jeans on and a T-shirt, and he looks and he goes, "What?" He goes, "Casual Friday." And he goes,
puts down all his goalie
gear. He has all his goalie equipment and stuff.
All right. Picks.
Great week last week, Freddie, for everybody except for
me.
Me.
Oh, me?
Andy won the week at 11-3.
Whoa.
Dictator.
Followed by Freddie at 9-5, and Eric at 8-6, and Paul.
Taking it up the rigor.
6-8.
Oof.
With the spread. Andy and Eric were tied at 10-4.
Dictator.
Fred was 8-6.
And
Paul, 4-10. Tough week for Paul.
For the season.
Fallen to last place. For the season, Eric, 110-50-1. Andy, 108-52-1. Paul and Fred, 102-58-1. Mm. So I'm tied for last with the overall, and I'm in last with the spread.
And I am
chasing
Eric.
KTS.
I am just knocking on his door.
94-67 for Eric, 88-73 for Andy, 86-75 for Fred, 85-76 for me.
Eric with a significant lead,
yes.
ATS.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
That's a 6-game lead.
How is he doing?
Track at home.
Who's giving him the picks?
Right.
Well, Andy's problem is he just can't pick the same way. two different times. No. He just keeps picking every team.
No, because when I pick a full week plus in advance in the paper,
well, I noticed in the paper, Paul, you're winning, right?
No, Eric is.
Oh, I thought Paul was winning.
Did I have a bad week last week?
No, we all...
Because I was winning before that.
Yeah, he was winning.
I don't think so.
No, I was winning going into last week.
I know for a fact he was.
Because the only reason why I know, I never check it, he made a comment to me that he had to catch me. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. I thought Eric's been winning for a month or more.
This is big. This is a.
I think Fred's right.
He cares.
Oh, he does.
He's the only one who does, but he cares.
He'd be caring.
Yeah.
He'd be caring. Although you wouldn't think that, by the way, he just cavalierly picks against the Patriots every week.
He says, you know, I actually pick for the team that I think
is going to win.
But he doesn't understand. He's clouded by emotion.
Right. Yeah. No question about that.
Like I am. I admit it.
Right, and it usually costs you a game, but you won a game last week with it because St. Louis won.
That's right.
And that was strictly an emotional pick.
I almost had the Tennessee game, too, right? Didn't I pick the Titans over the Steelers?
Yeah, you did.
Damn it.
But that wouldn't have been the same. But, yeah, you almost got two picks picking with your heart.
Right. All right, let's go first to tonight. Everyone will be staying up for Kansas City at Oakland.
6 hours, 19 minutes, and 23 seconds.
Kansas City by 7.5.
Kansas City by more than 7.5.
Poor Oakland.
Where's the game?
I don't know why it's in poor Oakland. Is this in Oakland? Everything they get.
Oakland.
Yeah, it's in Oakland.
No, I'm sticking with it. I just was wondering.
Yeah, I'm going to lay the points too, Kansas City.
I'm going to take the points.
Why?
Kansas City wins, but it's the AFC West. I grew up in the AFC West. I know
how
these
Oakland's been covering.
I know how these things work.
Have they?
Well, they covered last week. I don't know. They cost us back to a cover, half point.
Yeah, so I'll
last week anyway.
I'll split the diff here. Kansas
I could have been a fraud and said, oh, yeah, yeah. And then strippers would have written in, like, actually, Paul, they're 1-12.
And also, if I pick Kansas City both ways, I get less interested in the game. Now I'm like, oh, come on, Oakland.
You don't want to root for Kansas City to cover? Like, that doesn't give you interest in the game both ways?
Well, it's too easy. It's probably going to happen.
You know what you should do is what I said. Do one of those DraftKings Thursday night football.
It involves money.
$2 or $5.
Yeah, why would you get mad at that?
And I don't think
you
it does
mad
involve
at that yesterday?
Money.
Well, I didn't get mad.
You told me not to talk about it. We don't need to talk about you doing that.
No, you doing it.
Yeah, they're a partner of the team.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't work for the team.
Yeah, we should have talked about it at another time, but the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, saw that, right?
They've partnered with FanDuel.
No, but you see what they've said.
Oh, he wants legalized gambling.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bigger issue. Yeah, all these leagues are partnered with some fantasy
and,
football.
You know, I tweeted out, my Twitter line blew up a little bit. I said, I agree with Silver.
That means two people.
For the most part, I agree with Silver. The only difference is in these weekly things and with fantasy football in general, it's all about individual. It doesn't have anything to do with the outcome of games. And that's the difference with sports betting is – it's the outcome of the game that only matters, and who cares how.
But you're naive if you think that money on stuff can't affect.
No, I'm just saying
for fantasy.
That's why I kind of agree with Adam Silver. Just make it legal, you know. But, and I think eventually it's going to be because as soon as one state does it, the next state will. Then they're all going to do
because
it.
Because you can certainly, if you want it to be dirty and you want it to sort of influence. Fantasy football, that could influence the outcome of games. You could buy players with injuries and, hey, listen, I'm playing against you this week. If you're a question, you know, here's 50 grand, you know, sit out this game. You know, if you wanted to, like, really take it to the theater of the absurd, fantasy football can impact the outcome of a game.
Now,
if you wanted it to.
Would sports gambling be limited to professional sports?
Well, that's the thing. Both the NCAA and NFL are vehemently against it. So the assumption there is the sports betting would permeate to college.
Because from my perspective, you know, NFL is probably one, but then college basketball and college football are right there.
And that's where all the point shaving scandals have come from is college. Right. And it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out why.
Right. No, but the more vulnerable.
Yeah, all the point shaving scandals have already come. It's not legal, and they've already come. So,
well, that's my point. You're
what's
going to
happen?
You're not going to. What's the worst that happens?
It stays the same.
Another scandal.
Right. No, the worst that happens is it stays exactly the same.
That's my point.
Except as a state, as Fred said, you can tax it, and people can
regulate
be professional
it?
Gamblers.
Yeah, you can regulate
Vegas,
it.
You have professional gamblers who that's what their W-2 is or whatever that crap.
Right.
That's what I should do.
What about high school? The state? No, I'm being serious. Like the state of Texas, could you get on playoff games? high school football playoff games.
I mean, I suppose that anything that you wanted to give lines to, you could bet on. But I don't know if there's any place, you know, other than the
we could bet on the ratings for PFW other on than Thursday the, nights on Comcast Sports, other over
than
unders.
Other than the Danny V
I'll take
Super
tailgate.
Bowl.
Because we suck.
Other than the Danny V Super Bowl pool at the Boston Herald, I'm not sure I'm aware of any high school gambling that may or may not have gone on.
No, but don't you think, if
Danny
used
to put out a spread
Texas
for all the Super Bowls?
Oh, jeez.
Over, under, and a line.
Yeah, because Everett's in it already, even though everybody else has to keep playing to get into a Super Bowl.
I don't know why. This is like the
Did
most
you know
ridiculous
this?
Rant.
The Division I schools, Xaverian and Everett,
there are no
won
division
last week, so they're in the Super Bowl. Every other division has one more week of semifinal or whatever
so
games.
What? Because there
it's
are no
fair.
Division I schools in Central and Western Mass right. that want to participate in it.
Stupid.
So he thinks that Everett and Xaverian are wrong.
What do you mean? Who's losing out on this? Who's?
I don't like that they have to play an extra game to win a title.
There's more teams.
Football is a battle
there
of attrition,
are more
Fred.
Teams.
Football's a battle of attrition, and you're wearing people down more. It's not fair.
So they should just play
it's
a phantom
fair.
Game against
it's
somebody just
fair.
To play.
Put more people in the Division I bracket.
Okay, well that's a different.
You can
argument.
Only have so many teams that
it wasn't
qualify.
That hard an argument. I don't get the whole qualification thing.
Well, that's
I'm not
what
gonna
they
pretend.
Do. I don't know what it is, but that's what they do.
Every level I saw like these 3 and 6 teams, we couldn't put two more teams in
no,
let
no.
it go deeper?
No,
yeah,
no,
but
no.
they're not qualified as a Division I school.
Yes.
You're telling me there are no Division I schools left?
In
every
Central
Division
and Western
one...
Mass, no.
No, no, no. I'm
the
talking about anywhere.
The Pittsburghs and Leominsters, they don't want
I'm
to be in Division
I. Talking about anywhere. Add
here?
Around to Division I.
So they had
so
to play
that it all matches up.
So they had to play another game?
Like the teams this week to make the Super Bowl?
No. But you're saying you have to play another game against a 2-5 team like they already played
sure,
to get here?
Sure.
What good would that do?
I think it levels it out. I don't think it's
How
fair
does it
that
level it out?
The champions don't play the same number of games. I don't find
what
that
What if there
fair.
Aren't the same number of teams?
There are. You could play. You could add more teams. If
that
you wait
qualify.
So wait a minute.
You could add more teams if you wanted.
So is it fair that Dartmouth is in a league with, I don't know how many teams are in their league.
I have no idea.
Say 10 teams and Xaverian's in a league with 4? That's fair?
They're still playing the same amount of games.
No, but they're not playing the same amount of games to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, they are. All games count for playoffs.
And as long as you win your league games, you go.
If you
so if you only have to beat 3 teams
right,
to go to the playoffs, you might have to win 8.
Right, but
that's the
way
not
it's
fair.
Been forever. Right, and I've complained about the big 3 and all that.
All right, we got.
I just that's think it's ridiculous that you don't play the same number of games to get to a championship.
Hey, listen,
the NFC just plays one less game this year.
I don't
wasn't
really
enough teams, so the AFC is going to play in the title weekend.
Yeah, but it's not
NFC
like
so you'll be resting.
It's not
that's,
like
that is the prototypical Paul and Andy argument that has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking
it's not
about.
Not fair. Champions should all be all held right. to the same
Speaking
standard.
Speaking from as an obnoxious Everett resident, I wish they all were in Division I so they could beat up on all of the teams. But most of them won't play in Division I.
Wait, you're not a resident of Everett.
You know what
hey,
I mean.
You can
take the boy out of Everett.
You know what I mean.
Everett out of the
Speaking
boy.
Of that, what's the number?
Cleveland.
They're going to lose.
Cleveland at Atlanta, Sunday at 1.
Cleveland at Atlanta. Atlanta by 3.
Cleveland at Atlanta. Atlanta by 3?
Yeah, at Atlanta. They've that been coming
correct.
On.
I'll take Cleveland.
I double-checked.
Ever since I said Mike
today.
Smith could get fired at halftime, they've won.
I'll take Cleveland.
Yeah, 1 in a row.
I don't believe in Atlanta.
You took Cleveland?
Yeah.
I will take Cleveland as well, going against my theory of the crap team and taking the home team.
I'm going to
take
Atlanta. I'm going to take Atlanta. Okay, this is the big one, probably off the board in Vegas. The New Jersey Jets at Buffalo. Now, are they talking Monday night now for this game?
I think it could be as far as Tuesday.
Quick quick breaking news story. Jeff Taylor of the Charlotte Hornets suspended 24 games for pushing his girlfriend into a wall. Just in the landscape of the NFL that. And Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson.
Okay.
So that's a little less than a third of the season, right? At 24 games, play 82. So little more than a third of the season.
No,
a little less. I don't know.
Okay. Jets at Buffalo.
Jets at Buffalo. We're doing this game?
Buffalo by 4.5.
On Tuesday.
I don't know when the game's going to be played. They haven't,
I'm say
they haven't decided that yet.
All I know is they told me it takes them 3 days to remove a foot of snow. Well, how many days is it going to take to 6
said,
feet?
I thought they said 3 feet.
Okay, well, whatever.
Well, whatever.
They don't have enough time based on their
I don't understand
little...
why it takes that long.
I didn't either. Neither did Andrew Brandt. He goes, they should bring the Green Bay crew in because they're much better at that.
I mean, bring our crew in. We get rid of the snow faster than that here.
I don't think they're allowed to cross state lines.
That's a fair point as well. Buffalo by 4.5.
Well, since Buffalo can't practice, I'm going to take the Jets.
I will take Buffalo. It's a tough game to to really analyze.
They literally aren't practicing. They're all at home, like, reading their iPad.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Jets.
Let's put it this way. I'll be rooting heavily for Buffalo.
And have you seen all these idiots? I don't know. One of them was, like, this ripped black guy with just shorts on, right, standing in the snow. Right. Then Kiko Alonso decided to, instead of icing, he went out and put his knee in a snowbank. He's coming off an ACL or whatever he's coming off of. I was just...
He tore his ACL.
What the hell are you people doing? What is it about weather and snow that makes people act like morons?
I got to go with the Jets.
I just think Buffalo's a better team. At some point, they're going to play the game, and they'll be better.
Tampa Bay at Chicago.
So practice is useless. Allen Iverson
was
right.
That's why I'm really rooting for Buffalo.
Allen Iverson was right. If the Bills come out and dominate, we're talking about practice here.
Not only is it unnecessary to spend 24 hours a day at the facility, you don't have to spend any. You can still win.
To be fair, the coaches are literally spending 24 hours
a day. See, I think this is Fred's favorite game ever, though, because if the Jets win, he can say, well, you know, they beat up on a team that couldn't practice all week, and if they lose, they lost
to a team that
didn't even practice.
There you go.
He knows these, like, his head.
I know.
We already talked about it. Don't do that. You.
What?
Don't do that.
What?
We already talked about that off air.
We did? Tampa Bay at Chicago.
You are such a fraud.
I don't know.
Tampa at Chicago. Chicago by 5.5.
Oh, boy. All of a sudden now.
Chicago. All of a sudden what? They're over a 2-8 team.
I know, but
they're playing a 2-8 team.
Nobody was playing worse than Chicago.
I would say that's largely still true, but they're playing a 2-8 team.
They're at home.
They're playing one
of
the few teams that are playing as bad as they are.
Mike Lennon.
Well, no, this week it's Mike Evans.
Well, whatever the McCown is that's playing.
But Evans went off for, what did he have last week? Something ridiculous.
2 and change.
Yeah. He's like your Jonas Gray. I'll go with the home team just because they're the home team.
A little different than Jonas Gray. Chicago, you took?
He single-handedly made Johnny Football.
Yeah, I'll take the home team. I'm going back to my crap team, home
team. I'm very tempted to take Tampa Bay.
Paul, you ever wonder how many times we go off on these little side tangents like you say, you know, he's a little different, and I say, you know, he single-handedly made Johnny Football, and Fred's thinking, what are these guys talking about? Because you know what happens. He has no idea, and he's just waiting for it to end so he can move on.
Well, I am waiting for it to end.
Oh, shut up.
That's for sure.
We got to push this along. We got to push this
back. Yeah, I'll take Chicago. All right, Cincinnati at Houston.
Cincinnati at Houston. Houston by 2.
Ryan Mallett's second game.
Now, that's a spread I was a little surprised about.
If Ryan Mallett can get, you know, whatever it is, 200 yards rushing, he might have a nice... I'm going with Ryan Mallett. I'm rooting for him. Billy O'Brien. Ryan Mallett, rooting for him.
Definitely going to be rooting for him, but I'm going to take Cincinnati. I think they're a better team.
I'm with Paul.
They'll poop themselves on the road.
Jacksonville at Indianapolis.
Oh, boy. Indianapolis by 14.
Paul made an ill-advised pick on this one.
No, people all over the world. Paul's taking Jacksonville?
I will take the Colts to win and cover.
Okay.
I will take the Colts to win and cover as well.
But all he really needs is a victory.
I'm going to take the Colts with a backdoor cover. Green Bay at Minnesota.
So who's covering backdoor?
Colts. Colts cover.
He finds a way to say that every week without me having any idea who he's picking to cover the spread.
Green Bay at Minnesota.
Green Bay by 9.5.
Green Bay to win and cover. Oh, come on. You think Minnesota is going to hold Green Bay down?
No, I think Green Bay wins the game. I'm thinking about taking the points, but I'm not going to. I'm going to lay the points. I'll take Green Bay.
It's the frozen tundra of Target
Minnesota, whatever they call it.
Paul, I'm going to lay the points, too.
See, now I know who you took.
Right.
I'm not sure he does, though.
We're going to skip
the
over.
The backdoor thing implies that you're picking the underdog, but that's okay.
We're going to skip over Detroit, New England. We'll go to Tennessee at Philadelphia, Sunday at 1.
Philadelphia by 11.
I'm going to take Philadelphia to win, but I am going to take the points. Not sold on Sanchez. Don't think McCoy is ready to rush for two Bills, not having a very good year. So I'm my boy Mettenberger to keep it close.
I'm going to lay the points. I think Philadelphia bounces back after a bad performance last week, and they lay it on Tennessee, who is going to be coming off a bad home Monday night loss where they probably felt like they should have won.
I'm going to take Philadelphia to win, but I'm going to take the points.
Good call, Fred. That's why you and I are well up in the standings, and Paul is not.
Sunday, 4 o'clock.
He's a game ahead of me.
Sunday, 4 o'clock.
And you're three games ahead of me.
St. Louis at San Diego. St. Louis at San Diego.
San Diego by 4.5.
Sean Hill back making plays. I'm going to take San Diego.
I don't know what to think of St. Louis.
I know.
I'm going to take San Diego as well, even though I think that they're I think they're close to being done. You win. You beat Oakland like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I suppose
I'm going to go with the Rams.
Like that too,
keep it going. Go with the Rams.
Quinning.
Arizona at Seattle.
Seattle by 6.5.
Big game.
This is a big, interesting game.
Big game.
The NFC West.
You move more into Berman every day.
Come on, Arizona.
You know that's not a compliment, right?
Some might take it as a compliment.
Who, Chris Berman? Who else?
I don't know. He makes a lot of money.
There's a lot of people that make a lot of money that aren't, I mean, they're not the thing you want to aspire
right.
to be.
All right,
I'll take Seattle because they're home.
You going to lay the points, too?
I'm going to lay the points. Drew Stanton, defense, slugfest, backdoor cover.
I'm going to take Seattle. Arizona won in Seattle the last time these teams played there, but I'm going to take Seattle here. I think it's do or die for Seattle and San Francisco. If not now, they're going to find themselves out of the playoffs.
Yeah,
Seattle is going to find themselves out of the playoffs.
They both need to get on a winning streak here. I would say that they can only afford maybe one more loss.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle, but I'll cover it by taking the points.
I think San Francisco and Seattle need to go 11-5, or they're not going to make the playoffs.
What's their record now?
6-4.
6-4.
What did you take?
Seattle, but I'll take the points. Miami at Denver, 425.
Denver by 7.
Denver at home. I'm supposed to pick Denver at home. I'm going to ignore what I've seen the last couple of weeks and assume Miami's not. You know, Miami has a good defensive front. They could get after Manning a little bit. They could make things.
Sure could.
But they're at home. I think that's a big difference. And
again,
I think Manning is due for a good game. They lost on the road last week.
2 weeks in a row.
At the Trans World Dome.
Two games in a row.
I'm just going to go with Denver because they're at home and they're due to put up some big points and look like Denver.
Actually, 3 games in a row they were on the road.
It's a joke.
No, I was just actually thinking because we had the bye in between. They played on the road that week. So you have Denver, Andy?
Yeah, Denver wins covers.
Yeah, the luster is off Denver a little bit, but I will take them to bounce back. I have to think they're a better team than they played last week.
Me too. I'm thinking Denver bounces back.
But I would love
to
see Miami pull
off
an upset.
This is a weird game because I'd love to see Denver lose because, again, then I'd be right about the decline. But I want Miami to actually lose more than Denver. So I want Manning to be able – maybe they can win it with defensive scores. Washington at San Francisco, Sunday 4:25.
San Francisco by 9.
Some would say this is the lock of the week that the Niners will beat the Redskins, a team that is – their quarterback hates their coach. Coach hates their quarterback. The quarterback hates the team. The team hates the quarterback. A lot of hate.
What a mess.
A lot of hate. When you have a racist nickname, it just breeds hate in your locker room.
Oh, what a mess.
I will take San Francisco to win and cover. I think there'll be some pressure, as Paul Perillo says, some urgency. And pressure and urgency at home against a bad team usually means a pretty good win.
Yeah, it can also bust pipes. That's why I was a little bit afraid of it.
That's a bookie term.
Yeah.
Pressure bust pipes.
Yeah.
You never heard that term?
No. Not in football, no.
Bill Parcells.
Really?
Yeah, not a Paul Perillo original.
I missed that press conference. Yeah.
I'll take the Niners, but I am not anywhere near as confident in it as Andy is.
I'm not really
against the Redskins. Terrible.
They lost to Chicago at home.
All right. I'll take San Francisco. Sunday Chicago's night.
Good team. You don't give them credit.
Sunday night, Dallas at the Giants.
Dallas by 3.5.
Let's see. 1 week they gave up 365 yards rushing. The next week they come out and throw 5 picks and they're done. I'm sorry. The Tom Coughlin era is over. He's old.
Yeah.
It's just not happening. Ben McAdoo about nothing, Paul.
Terrible offensive coordinator. I agree.
Yeah, I'll take Dallas. Win and cover. Yeah. Giants have given it up.
I will take the Giants to
me
win.
Me too. Dallas all the way. All right.
He goes, me too. Paul took the Giants.
I took the Giants.
You took the Giants?
And you said me too.
I'm taking Dallas.
So don't get mad.
You're taking the Giants?
I took the Giants.
Really?
Yes.
What are you thinking?
I think Dallas sucks.
And the Giants are good?
No, the Giants are at home.
Okay. Two bad teams. Take the home team.
I think, in all seriousness, I think that everything Andy said about last week's game is true, and yet here they are against San Francisco on the four-yard line with a chance to win the game. So yeah. you don't throw five picks and you only throw four, maybe you win.
Your guy made a play. Oh, and
it was funny because I was watching the Denver game and Manning had two interceptions. And I was thinking, hey, you know, Paul and I have a bet that Peyton Manning will throw more interceptions than Eli Manning. And then I see Eli Manning threw four.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
We certainly do have a bet.
I never made a bet about that.
Oh. Who has?
Like, well, I mean, I'll take it.
Kevin,
I'll take it if you want it.
Preseason.
I'll take that bet if you want it, but I never made a bet with you about Peyton Manning throwing more picks than Eli Manning.
Yes, we had a bet. Yep.
Nope.
Wait, but I don't think you want that bet now.
No, I know.
That's why I said I'll be more than happy to.
I know, but we did have a bet.
I'd let him weasel out of it.
Baltimore at New Orleans, Monday night, 8:30.
New Orleans by 3.5.
Boy. The more you do these picks, you realize there's a lot of bad teams in this league.
Yeah, and Paul gets criticized for saying that.
But you think they're sucky. I don't think they're sucky.
No,
they're
think they're sucky.
No, I don't.
They're
sucky.
They're just not a lot of good teams. That's all I think.
See, I think there's a lot of
not a lot of consistent teams.
Yeah.
Because they're not good.
Right.
If you're good, you're consistent.
I'll take the home team. I'll take the Aints at home. I don't feel good about it. There's nothing.
Yeah.
But I can't take – I don't want to take the Ravens. Right. I mean, even the way some of the games they were winning early in the year when Steve Smith was all the rage. Remember he had like that tipped one for the long touchdown? And I don't know who's good.
I hate the Ravens. I might hate the Ravens more than I hate the Steelers.
I would be taking the Ravens to win this game if the NFC North wasn't such a mess. As bad as New Orleans has been, they're tied for first place.
Yeah.
So all it takes is a couple of wins.
Yeah.
Did I say the West?
Yeah. Said North.
North.
Oh, NFC South. 4-6 teams are at the top, and I'll take the Saints at home.
I will too. All right, now we go back to Detroit at New England, Sunday at 1. Detroit at New England.
Patriots by 7.
I said earlier, I have a little trepidation about this game. There's a little bit of me that remembers preseason contests where Sue and the defensive front get after it a little bit. Still not totally sold, maybe, that this offensive line is the workhorse group that everybody thinks it is coming off a 250-yard performance. But the bottom line is I don't really believe in the back end of Detroit's defense. I don't really believe in any defense where in the middle of the field it's James Ahedebo and Gronk running around. That expatriate bias I have, for whatever it's worth. Hayward Slay, as we like to call him.
Darius Hayward Slay?
You know, I think there's some plays to be made in the air as long as they get rid of the ball, as long as the front doesn't dominate to the point where
they don't
have
a lot of sacks. I mean, they only have 26 sacks on the season.
But they have... They
have a disruptive front.
Yeah, they have a disruptive front is a good way to put it. As long as that front doesn't disrupt it, I think the Patriots will win. A little bit of a concern of the matchup opposite Johnson, however they jigger that, Golden Tate. But in the end, I think the Patriots 31-20, something
yeah,
like that.
That's right. Yeah.
I have the same kinds of respect for the front for Detroit that Andy just talked about. I think that they spread them out and sort of mitigate that problem. I don't think they're going to try to run into that very much. I think the only way they'll have a lot of running attempts in this game is if they get a huge lead early and they're just grinding out the clock late.
And who gets them?
If the game is close, I could see fewer than 20 carries as a team for the Patriots in this game. But I don't think it's going to be all that close. I think it's going to be 33-16 with a slew of turnovers from Detroit, and Detroit might even score some of those points.
It's funny you mentioned 16. That's exactly the number I came up for with Detroit. That's what they'll score, 16. Patriots, I think, in the 30s. So we're looking at another Patriots win.
So it's in the 30s to 16. Put that one down.
Well, that's a cover. I mean, you got enough information.
Right.
Backdoor cover.
But if it's 39-16, Fred wins. If it's 30-16, Fred wins.
So now we transition from the sophomoric humor of PFW in progress to the highbrow content of
the professorial John Rook.
I don't understand what the big deal was. I was simply making a comparison of the show.
Oh, I wasn't referring to anything.
I took it as a compliment.
Me too.
I didn't know my humor
We're
was
funny.
That high.
You're like a lecture. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
What do you got, John?
Say that again, Andy.
Nothing.
What?
What was that, Andy?
Forget about Sunday in Buffalo. Bills will be hard-pressed to get stadium ready for next home game, per source.
Really?
Says Adam Schefter. And that's November 30th.
They have a few problems.
Yeah, they might have to go to play. They might have to play a Monday night game in the at the Jets' place.
They did say New Jersey and two other places were possibilities. Not Carrier Dome. Carrier Dome was
not. Enough?
I think they only listed NFL venues.
They couldn't play in Toronto?
Toronto, New Jersey, and I think Philly were the
Why
three.
Why would they play in New Jersey?
They go back to the Meadowlands.
Oh, just go back to the Meadowlands. Yeah.
That doesn't seem fair.
Toronto would
seem to make
the most sense, no?
I would think. There's no snow in Toronto, right? It's not a...
Well, it's indoors.
It's just a little snow.
Well, it's, no, yeah. it's not a little snow. Did you see the picture on the globe of
it's
the guy?
It's just a lot of snow.
The guy who didn't clear off his
car? I saw.
What an a-hole.
Yeah, crushed it. Everything. Yeah.
Really? Totally. The snow crushed his car?
Yeah.
DB.
Yeah.
Wow.
What, did he have a convertible or something? Fred, there's like feet of heavy snow. It was coming down at like 4 to 5 inches an hour. Wow. That's like you go to the bathroom and come out and there's another 5 inches of snow.
You know what it was like? You know when it rains really
You're
hard
the
and they say that?
Hour?
It was like 2 inches an hour. If that were snow, it would have been 3 feet. That's what they got in snow.
That is what it is. It's that ridiculous, imagine if this were snow. And it
is.
It's coming right off the lake.
All right, John, we'll have a good show for the playbook. Then, fantasy.
Try not to have
o'clock.
Any humor involved.
No humor. No sophomore humor at all.
For this show, we'll see you next Tuesday. And we got the pregame social at 10:45,
baby.
On Sunday. See you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.